Hi. 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 How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? Hey, how you doing? You doing all right? Are you doing all right? Are you doing all right? Hi. Hey, what's up? It doesn't get any more intimate than this. Are you shitting me? Hello? It can't get any more intimate than this. This is fucking nuts. Well, guess what? I got good news, everybody. Oh, yes.
Oh, God. Don't tell me. Oh, honey, I'm listening to the Todd Glass Show. And,
by the way, what I love about this character, I don't think any guys like that are listening to my show. But if he is listening to it, maybe he doesn't seem like the type of person who would listen to it. But, you know, if he does listen to it, he does like it, so you gotta love him.
Honey! I'm listening to the opening of the Todd Glass Show, and he said he had good news. I'm going to bang a pot against the wall. If those shirts are ready, oh, my God, the ones that say Louis C.K. in little teeny writing, if I understood the way Todd was explaining it last week, Louis C.K. is in little teeny writing, and then it says closing for Todd Glass Tour 2012. If those shirts are ready, I'm going to take a stinking shit in my pants and just have fun for once in my life.
Oh, yeah, they're ready for Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate. Oh, there's some other shirts, too, and they say, The Todd Glass Show, Fridays at 9, right after WTF with Mark Maron. They're ready, too. All righty. I can't wait. D.C., I'm going to see you the 24th, 5th, 6th, 7th of January. We're even doing a podcast there one of those nights. All right. Hey, by the way, a few people, I was going to do a show with my friend Kevin. He's called Not Yet Dr. Kevin Sousa. And Not Yet Dr., we could call him Mr. Not Yet Dr. No, Not Yet Dr. Sousa has been really helpful for me. For dealing with some things in my life. And, you know, it's my friend Kevin. I've known him since we're, like, you know, very, very young. And he became a, oh, I'm going to probably say it wrong, but I think he's marital and children or his expertise. That's what his expertise is in. But obviously, when you do stuff like that, you become pretty good at helping people with any problem. And he has been really awesome. I've said this today on the phone. I was talking to him. I was like, what did I do before? I had you to call because he has just common sense and mixed with someone that has a degree or going towards their degree. And the mixture can be helpful. You learn. I'll call him even if I have a little problem. I'll be like, what do I do? How do I deal with this? And it's amazing. After asking me a few questions, unravels things. To me, that's the best type of I'm talking too much, aren't I? Well, anyway, I'm talking too much. I'm asking Eric. He doesn't even react. He just looks at me like, maybe. That never stopped you before. But anyway, the point was I wanted to have Not Yet Dr. Kevin Sousa on the show this week, but we're going to do it when we come back from the holidays. And I'm going to, because isn't that when we'll need it? I'm just saying that. Not everybody. I go home, I have a great time. So I don't want to make it like, oh, those holidays. They really, but it is hard for a lot of people. You go home to the stuff you wanted to get away from, and even though you love your parents, or, hey, by the way, don't think they're not listening to the show, too, when you leave. because they're tired of you. I'm not making it one-sided. It's hard for sometimes a lot of people to be together, especially as we grow up and we become adults and, you know, you go back home as an adult, it's a little different. You know, there's that moment where you go, hey, I'm not a kid anymore. And then that's one level of the thing when you go home. And then it's just complex, but it's also fun. I love going home. I do. I really like going home. I love seeing my family. I love hanging out with everybody. Everybody still makes me laugh. So I don't want to make it, I don't want to make it sound like they're gratuitous. Oh, you're going home. But for a lot of people, it's hectic even when you can't wait to get there. And then when you come back to life, we bring in not yet Dr. Kevin Sousa for a special Monday episode. It's going to be fun. We'll just, I love it. I want to do those like a lot. And, so there you go. Bye, everybody. Enjoy the show. There's a few little sound glitches here and there, but you know what? We had fun. We had fun. Bye. Enjoy the show. Next podcast. This week, do a show from a listener's pussy. Seriously.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey, what are you asking him where he met? Oh, we funny thing is, we always tell the story
at the shrimp buffet.
They call it the factory. They switch it to
what
the buffet.
What's the name of the buffet?
We met, what the city buffet. Were we in? We were in Florida Phoenix.
Florida Phoenix.
That was the name of the hotel, the Florida Phoenix.
Would it be okay if we just separated you two and asked you independently?
Oh, sure. I don't care.
Where you met?
No, we've been accused of this before.
No one's accused you of anything.
No, I'm not going to ask him the question.
All right. I just want to be clear. No one has been charged with anything. No one's been accused with anything. Okay. Where did you meet Todd Glass?
Specifically, that we were in the Palisades.
So you're saying you met at the Paladino House in
Paladino
Pacific Palisades?
Paladino in the Palisades. That's why we used the lab out.
That place.
Palisades.
Guys. They closed the Paladino House in 1958.
He used to say that.
You're listening to the Todd Glass Show, sweeping the nation. Crazy. It's out of control. I thought about not playing the opening jingle.
What?
Tom Martin, that's why I love you. You want me to play the opening?
Well, I want to
do
the opening.
I love that you do that.
I've noticed, Todd, that you're getting better at singing, and I'm not just saying that.
Shut the fuck up.
It's just like, are you taking lessons at singing?
Well, I don't know.
I wonder if there's a way, like...
Hello.
If we could get you to sing more often.
Well, you know, maybe... Maybe like this you're talking about? A little bit like, maybe I like to sing a song!
Yeah, or even more.
I get a kick out of you.
Even more singy.
Hey, singy. Okay, let's play our opening theme. This is the show. That was the cold opening. Fade that out.
Look at you.
That's good.
If you fucking call me back.
Hello, I'm a first-time listener. Is that Tom Martin gave me a massage? Down at that YMCA, he works there.
Listen, man,
I'm a nice woman.
The Dow Healing Arts Center. I don't work at the YMCA,
I went
man.
To get a massage.
Ryan
Regan.
You may be thinking of somebody.
He slid his finger into my vagina.
No, that wouldn't happen. Not at the Dow Healing Arts Center in Santa Monica.
Let me know that.
What if that was an honest? Oh my God! Shut this music off. I got something for you. You're gonna love it. I know it's in the middle of our opening. Can you? Fucking imagine. Oh, people are going to love this. Everyone, that you're given a massage.
Uh-huh.
Now, this probably, we're going to finish our theme music here in a second.
Okay.
But this would fucking suck. You're given a massage, and your finger accidentally really slips into the girl's vagina.
I don't know if that would happen. If you were working the adductors, you wouldn't work naked, or you would be doing a lot of draping. I can't see a scenario with
that. That makes me feel better.
The butthole, on the other hand.
Shut the fuck up. Like, you have some story. I think what happened when we were doing all this, we lost our place in our opening music. Is that true? Yeah. It's okay. You know what? Because we're starting. The show started. No, you don't. People know what happened. We're playing the opening, and we paused it. And then sometimes when you pause something on the board, I get it, Chris. I did this board one week ago.
Listen, man, I really want to know that at the podcast. I've got stuff to
He doesn't even listen. You're right. He's right. People want to hear it.
Ryan Regan, again.
Hello.
If you don't want me to do the podcast, just, I don't know, let me know that. Do you want me to beg?
God, it's Maron.
Hello.
Mark
Maron.
What do I fucking need to do?
He's very funny podcast.
This is when the show gets exciting for me.
Please welcome Todd.
That's Jimmy Fallon, everybody.
High atop Black Horse Motors. It's the Todd Glass Show.
This is gonna be a fun show. I know. I don't want you to think I just say it every week, but I really do think that it's gonna be fun. I really do.
Todd Glass.
I like this song. I don't know why, but it's something about it I like.
It has many meanings. It's like layered. The lyrics make you think.
No, I know it's weird, but did you think I wasn't going to like this song?
Yeah, I wasn't sure. You know, you're very picky about popular music.
Thank you. But there's something about this song. Play it a little more. So you did. Now, Eric, be honest. I like how Chris had to switch the mic for you, because you just move forward like a zombie. Where is the microphone? It doesn't matter. Did you think I was going to like this song?
No, I did not.
Why didn't you? Because it's not a beautiful song.
Real rhyme.
But play it. I want to hear what's something about it I like it. I'm not even joking around. I swear to God.
It's a little repetitive, but that's why I wasn't sure.
Look, you know what? Let's just not. We don't have to figure everything out. There's something about that song I really like, though. So here we are. I want to thank the people over at Executive Audio Video, because they hooked me up. I needed some TV work done at my house. They did not know to George Carlin that they were going to get this. That's to George Carlin that I would, you know, hey,
where are they located? You got to give a better.
Well, I know Executive Audio Video. You know, sometimes like I said to George Carlin, so that means I'm being honest. You know, I had to have a TV hooked up, you know,
right. There's a lot of wires these days.
A lot of wires, yeah. And I didn't want to spend a lot of money. I know it sounds like it really is an infomercial, but like it was more reasonable than I thought, you know? Someone gave
me
their
Chris?
Number.
Chris could have hooked
up. No, he couldn't do this type of stuff. Trust me.
Yeah, he could. Maybe not as fast as Executive Audio.
Executive Audio Video. Let me tell you something that happens with. Listen, we're in the middle of a promo here. I mean, honest, a speech of my heart. No, I said to George Carlin that these are people I dealt with, but I like that. You know, when you look, the only other experience I had this with when I built my home was the roofer. People ask me, anybody, the roofer, like he takes pride in what he does and he's good.
Yeah.
Paul Kufos, people, if you need a good roofer, I swear to God.
I got half off our roof by getting an autographed script of Matt Groening. I mean, it saved me thousands of dollars.
Really?
Yes. It cost me nothing.
Wait, explain. I'm a little confused.
Okay, we need a new roof for our house.
Oh, well, so I can't talk about that on the show. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm the guy that's not listening. I thought you were just complaining about your roof.
He was a Simpsons fan, and I got him an autograph. He said, do you think you'd get me an autographed script from Matt Groening? And so I was working on the show at the time, so I said, hey, Matt, can you sign this? It's going to save me a lot of money. And he wrote a nice letter to the guy on the cover of the script, drew a picture. And I'm like, oh, yeah. It was worth... You know, a couple $1,000.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that he did that for you. You know, when my brother, and it was pretty scary, had to have open heart surgery, you working at The Simpsons at the time. And let me tell you something. This is when I was proud, you'll get it, to be a comedian and thought, like, there's a lot of, you know, people that are now maybe popular but can use it to good. So when my brother had his open heart surgery, I couldn't be there. And I really felt bad about it. I wanted to be there. I thought I'd send them something cool. So you got everybody from The Simpsons to write something, every character. And they were great things, like Homer. My brother still has everything matted and framed.
Oh,
Homer
cool.
wrote something like, you know, stop, put down the cookies or something. It was all very personal from every character. And then I had a few other people do the same type of thing. But that was to my brother. That was a cool. You know what's funny? I'm glad you said that because it's weird. You can forget about something like that. Isn't that weird? Because that's pretty special. But you know what? Yeah, the years pass and you're like, I did do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know anybody that worked there
that
except
totally,
you.
It balances out me flipping off that lady on the freeway today.
And they didn't just write generic things. Like, you know, I gave you some specific things to write.
Uh-huh.
So to have those characters when you're a hardcore fan of the show. All right, I'm getting a little teary-eyed here. All right, so executive audio video. What if that was all part of their ad still? Like, wait, how much do they pay for this ad? Yeah, we come back to them. So these guys did a good job. I know people are – okay, so let's –
Did they hook up your VCR?
Yeah, that's all they did. Hi, everybody. I'm the owner of Executive Audio Video. Tired of getting the... All right, enough of that. Executive Audio Video. I wish I'd have their phone number. I'd give it out. All right, now people are going to start to think there's something fishy going on. Jared, relax. We'll get that cat frat thing going for you. Okay. I want to get this out of the way because it's sort of the only semi-serious thing.
What about your brother's heart condition? That was kind of serious.
Yeah, that's true. I don't want to lose track. I want to do a nice paced show. So what time did we start? 8?
This We've been going here. For 8 minutes.
Is that all?
Yeah. So we started.
Okay, so we'll go till 10. You'll.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's 8. Okay, it's very professional. What if Johnny Carson did that or David Letterman or?
Well, actually, that was a joke. Letterman was always, how much time do we have? How much time?
It's great. You know what? He's right. Everyone needs to. Because it's not that you're trying to, you know, I think here's the problem. I don't like to look at my watch because it makes people, It makes people think you're not in the moment or enjoying yourself, and it's really not because the majority of the time – but I get it. That's why I don't like to look at my watch. The majority of the time I'm having a great time on stage, and when I look at my watch, it's like I know this sounds cheesy, but it's usually like I want longer than I have. Mm-hmm. You know, you look down, you're like, fuck, it just goes. When you're having a good time with a great audience, the time, you know,
yeah,
it flies.
Yeah, it's weird, yeah.
It flies. You do a corporate, I can't believe I look down at my watch 30 minutes later. I do some of my act. I look down about 30 minutes later to see what time it's at. 30 minutes later, 3 minutes.
Right.
I'm like, shut the fuck up. It's 8:33. I've been up
for 3 minutes.
Did you
ever wear cruise ships? Because that's what I found. Cruise ship stand-up stage time ticks along because they put so many weird restrictions on you. You keep thinking, oh, okay, don't swear. Don't mention Cubans.
Yeah.
Don't do this. I mean, they have.
You know what I do on the cruise ships? Whatever they do that would normally bother me, I like it. I add like I enjoy it. Someone goes, it's my birthday. Great. That's 10 minutes. I'll acknowledge
it. Right.
How old are you? 30 years young? You know, or if it's 80-year-old in a wheelchair. I'm 80. 80 years young. Oh, yeah. So anyway, that's fun. What if there's someone right now that's listening that was on a cruise ship with me and I did that? They're like, it was all phony? Yes. I hated you.
Did they make you sign autographs after? Because when Fred was talking about...
Excuse me? Make me sign autographs? All right, so.
You're listening. Hi, everybody. This is Lynn Shore. On behalf of Todd, Chris, Katie, Irk, and sometimes Mikey LaRue, happy holidays.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
The Todd Glass Show.
Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
You're gonna like the way it looks.
Yuletide carols being sung by a choir.
All righty. How you doing, everybody? So let me get through some stuff. Tom, I have totally lost track of what's happening here, but we did a cold opening and then we took a break that we might have recorded, but I do have to get through some business of the show. So anyway, I want to get this out of the way because it's the only half serious thing, which I think I mentioned back a little while ago. Coleman is his name, and he basically, to George Carlin, it's not like that serious, but you'll know what I mean. It's like heavy thinking, and I don't want to heavy think right now, but I want to deal with this. Because it's something I'm passionate about. Got heckled. He was doing a pedophilia joke. And he got heckled from somebody. And the woman eventually went up on stage and blah, blah, blah. And it it really led me to, like, you know, so most people were saying he dealt with it good and here's what he did. And I don't want to get into the details of it because some of them I forget. But the gist of it was that when he got off stage, a lot of the people were saying, you handled that good. You handled that good. And but first thing it led me to think was, and we've talked about this many times before, is, you know, is it ever okay to heckle? And I, let me tell you something. I still want to educate myself on this, but I'll tell you where I stand today. It sounds like a weird thing, but, like, my instincts are to first say, well, sometimes people can be right. Like, if somebody said something incredibly racist and somebody went, it's 2012, I might go, fucking good for that motherfucker.
Right.
But mostly people that yell out are dumb.
Right.
The smart people adamantly disagree, but get it, you can't do it in a public situation because as right as I think I am, and I am, but there's some other schmuck that gets offended over a joke that was brilliant. So brilliant people tend to disagree and go inward. It doesn't mean the person that yells out doesn't have a good cause in their heart, but they don't realize even though that's a great cause and they're right, you still can't yell out in a public situation. That's my final feeling about that. But I get it. I've seen people yell out once in a blue moon when I feel they're on the right side of something and yell out, that audience member was right. But most of the time it's moron. So unfortunately, even if I agree with your cause, you can't yell out. So she did. She couldn't yell out, even though I might agree. But to me, here's the way none of them might have looked at this yet. And that's why, you know, Coleman, I hope I'm shedding some light on this. But then you have to deal with yourself as whether you're a good comic. Not you, meaning because of this joke. I mean this joke. I should preface it that way. You have to ask yourself, okay, I'm a good comic, but is that joke worth defending?
Right. The fact is, that's
the thing that's not said in here. So there's two things. One, there's two situations here. One is, can people yell out even if I think they're right? No, you just can't. Now we talk about, don't deprive yourself of, just because she couldn't yell out or it might have been wrong, that it should address something. That, how is the joke? That's right. To me, the meat of what we want to ask ourselves. And that's what, you know, Coleman, you have to ask yourself. Because I don't think and I've said this a million times, and I'll say it a million and one. Can anything be funny? Yes. That's what a lot of people like to hear, especially the people that defend comedy. Can anything be funny? And I wholeheartedly mean it. Yes. Anything can be funny. My sister-in-law, I said once, said 9/11. I go, yes. But I don't give it a blanket. It's okay. Let me hear the joke. So if somebody says, can 9/11 be funny? Let me hear the joke.
Of course.
It can be insensitive. I don't just think because you have a microphone and you're at a comedy club that it makes it okay. So the question Cole has to ask himself is, now we already agreed, okay, that woman shouldn't have yelled out. How is your joke? Did she get enraged justifiably, even though she maybe should have not been able to blurt it out?
Or does she not understand satire, which sometimes happens?
That's what I'm saying. I'm not being sarcastic. I might hear the joke that he told that night and go, no, that's a funny joke. You know, that's a funny joke. But sometimes you hear the joke and you go, really? Is that
– right.
You know, so it – but I don't give it a – so I think you just have to – after you're done dealing with whether what she did was right or wrong, go back. Because let me tell you something. Audiences, you know, they're not always wrong. You know, they're not always wrong. Sometimes, you know, she might have been a woman that – anyway, I went a little long on that, but that's what you have to ask yourself. After we got done dealing with the side of it, what her, you know, what she should do as an audience member, you know, then the thing is, is this pedophilia joke worth defending?
Well, certainly she.
And by the way, I really want to overpreface that. That sounds like a sarcastic question. I'm telling you, I know there's probably jokes dealing with that topic. I would have to go, oh, Jesus, that's, you know. But, you know, I would say here, I will say this, so I'm not being a pussy. I'm defending it wholeheartedly. Any topic can be funny. But I'm also being honest with myself, not to defend the art part of it so much. I bet 95% of them are shit. And you have to ask yourself if you're – like, same thing I say about little people jokes when people say midget jokes. Can there be a joke about a midget that's funny? Abso-fucking-lutely. What about yours, though?
Right.
What about yours?
Well, I'll give you in the movie Elf, where there was a little person who Will Ferrell's character thought was an elf, and he kept saying it over and over again, come here. And then the guy threatened, I'm going to kick your ass if you call me an elf again. And he called him an elf again. Now, that's an example of satire in a way, because Will Ferrell's character
is a buffoon.
Yes. And so anyone can see that and say, okay, I agree with the elf's position here, or the little person's mm-hmm. position here. And so
that's why
that's what audiences miss sometimes mm-hmm. in stand-up, because it's not spoon-fed to
well,
them.
Well, that's what you just – but that's why I'm saying before – if you can def- – if it works – if a joke is worth defending, I'll defend it.
Right.
But I also like to defend if it's wrong. Otherwise, it, you know, it looks like I'm just a phony. I always defend the joke. So I always ask, like, yeah, look at it, because there can be – you know, in a joke like that, obviously, you know, you're the buffoon is the character telling it, you know, and you got to think, what about mine? Okay, so we move – let's move on past that.
With their eyes all aglow, we'll find it hard to sleep.
You're listening to the Todd Glass Show, America. They say that Sand is on his way. All right, listen.
Words, words, words.
Atomic Six. Okay, person. Maybe the yeah, I don't care. You know, it's okay. This person, I think this is worth discussing.
What?
Okay, Atomic Six, I just said it, tweeted. There's something, yeah, here's why I think it's worth bringing up. Here's what I think, how do I express this? The people that are the part of the, I don't want to sound cheesy when I say this. The hardcore listeners, they're your family, they get you.
Mm-hmm,
you know, you become this family on the, obviously, through what we do.
Right.
Why did I hesitate on saying that?
I don't
know. Because it came from my heart, but then I thought it sounds a little bit cheesy. But you do. You become this. Those people are like, that listenership is like, we don't mind. I hope I'm doing them proud if they had to have one voice. We don't mind if you acknowledge some of the negative emails, but don't let it affect the show. Don't let it affect the show. Then that's not – and I go, yes. Okay. I won't. I won't let the small minority – interrupt what the great thing that I have fun doing with the other people, because then I'm like creating a CEO of a company that doesn't exist, and I think I do that. So right. That's why this is a great example. And to me, it's not about, again, I've said this a million times, I can't believe people go online and write this stuff. That's certain comedian stance, but mine is different. I get it. People want to express themselves, and it's not always positive.
Yes.
But I still think my question is still okay to ask. It's not writing him off just because it's – he tried to be kind about it, but he said there were some – yeah, I'll say it – jingles on the show. I'm not going to say which person it is that he doesn't like. Sort of he was trying to say in his thing, in his text, in his tweet, I really love the show though. Like it was sort of like don't – and that's what makes me feel a little bad, but you still want to go, hey, if you don't like the jingles, we're done. Like, we're done. They're my favorite thing. And then I also think, doesn't he know that this person has feelings that might be looking through the show? Like, are they that bad? I think it's hard for people to believe. Now, not everybody, but I think – also, I think this is the way they treat people in their everyday life. The relationship and the tweets you tweet towards me are exactly the way you're dealing with your family. And to me, that's why it's interesting to talk about. What does it say about this person? They can't believe – that they might just have to part ways. They have to go drop this because this is what I like.
Right.
Hey, this is what I like. But it's hard for them to just think that. Like this person, I know they're listening right now. It's hard for them to believe like, yeah, I like it. Like I'm not going to drop that because of you.
Yes. And it makes me think of one of the comedians I've always admired because of her ability to just press on is Janine Garofalo was able to just do what she thought was funny and what was best for her, even when faced early on with people who walked out on her or who maybe even had some legitimate criticism but hated her for the wrong reason. But the thing that – the reason Janine is so successful is not that she didn't feel the criticism. She felt it maybe as much or more than anybody. She had a strong idea of what she wanted to do, and so she cared more about pleasing herself and continues to than pleasing somebody who's not going to like certain things about her act.
Right. And the reason to me this is interesting is because I don't want to take what's great, and believe me, and I also at the same time will not spit on social media because it can be so great – You know, it can make you feel so good. Someone can send a kind thing your way. It is good, but with some good, there's bad. And it's up to you whether you do both. You can just utilize the good of it. Don't utilize the bad. But it takes a little self-control. Mm-hmm. And to me, what's great about radio, and probably what was great about it, what made me fell in love with it, was when you're doing something in front of an audience, you tend to – it's hard to just do what you do. But I got to be privy when I was younger to listen to a guy in a studio that had pretty much no idea what that audience ever thought, except if they called in.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. So he was – what they did on the radio was just pure because there was no audience in front of you. So you tended to trust only nothing but your instincts.
Right.
And that's what made you have this crazy connection. So if you read too many of the negative things, you can start ruining what's so great about this, that you just turn on a microphone. There's nobody in front of you. It turns it into like painting artwork. You know, imagine if you had to paint and the audience had to – you heard reactions. So you're like Van Gogh and you're doing something and you hear, ooh, and you're, oh, and you try to fix it. Oh, I'll do it differently.
Right.
So with no audience, that's the crazy – that's the great thing about this. So when somebody writes something like that, again, by what I just said, I hope I've proven. I get it. Don't let that affect the show. It's not from that angle of it. It's like from the angle of this person – it's just hard for them to think like, yeah, we might like Todd and he likes that. Like, I'll just – if he would just stop that. Like, who else? He can't think maybe other people like it. He thinks, no, I'm telling you, most people are like this. Here's this guy if he would hypothetically talk about it ever. And I know he wouldn't. I think I stand for most – why do I do that funny voice? Here's this guy. Let me get rid of the voice. No, I love the show. It's a good show and I love it. I think probably most people agree. I know my friends agree. It's like, man, the guy's funny but those fucking jingles. It's like – he would just ease up on – no. You're lucky I don't roll in a whole goddamn slew of these jingles right now. What is this?
The jingle.
They call the show's host Todd.
Oh.
And Daniel steers it too.
I wasn't sure you'd like this song,
at
Todd.
At times they make the listener stop to ask.
I like it.
Ask, how high are you?
Hey.
The show's been great to me. The jokes and bits galore.
Ah.
And yet before the podcast is over,
you like it, Adam Six? This jingle's fucking you right in your head. How dare you?
Todd, if you ever want to dismiss comments, just read some YouTube comments. They're just, they should just turn off all the comments on YouTube.
Hold on 1 second.
All I can do is hope.
Oh, hold on, Tom. I'll be right with you. Thank you, everybody. Todd Glass, show.
Todd, do a podcast tonight.
Oh, you like jingles, Adam Six? Whatever your name.
Todd, do a podcast tonight.
Atomic Six? Huh? What do you think of this?
Todd,
now you've pissed
you
off Adam Six.
Come on, people.
Todd, do a podcast tonight.
I will do a podcast.
Todd, let a gentleman see.
You like this?
How nice a show it can be.
What do you think?
Who is this?
I know
Joe.
How wonderful the other episodes were. Todd, do a podcast for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The podcast
Atomic Six.
He's still listening angrily.
Well, now he can't stop listening.
Now he loves jingles.
If we talk about him during a jingle, he won't be able to not listen to it. Oh, here's talk about self-neuroses. Adam Six. Adam Six. He's listening.
Atomic Six.
Atomic Six. Atomic Six. Atomic Six.
Let's keep this preface.
Atomic Six.
Can you give me some Sinatra style background?
That's okay. We're good. We're good. We're going to go nice and we're going to do something right now. That's right. We're going to say something about Atomic Six. Give me some background Sinatra swing. Now, if he's listening right now, it's a little sad. because we're just doing jingles now to his name. That's the only difference. If he can't go...
Well, maybe that's what was missing. He felt like it needs... If it's going to have jingles, it should be Atomic Six jingles.
Well, don't you think a reasonable person that honestly didn't like jingles would... Someone would say, you know, they played a jingle about you, and they talked about you on the show during a jingle for like an hour today. He'd be like, yeah, I heard it for 1 minute. I don't care if it's my name. I'm not going to listen just because it's my name. But he's not that person. He's listening. Oh, Atomic Six. Atomic Six. I know you're listening to my podcast because I'm mentioning your name. Atomic Six. I can't believe some people say you must be sick. It's a neuroses that you have. You can't turn the show off. I think you've got an illness, my friend. You're still listening. Seriously, I know I'm saying it comedically, but this really does say a lot about yourself. All I'm doing is singing about you. I can't believe you can't turn this off. Now, I've done a bit like this before, where I try to get into the head of somebody. But what do you think the odds are, and our audience will guess too at their house, that Atomic Six right now, there'd be certain people who'd be like, we don't care which it is, but I'm going to list both. It's only fair. Atomic Six, I'm keeping you. See, I do it one more time. Atomic Six, Atomic Six, Atomic Six.
Atomic Six.
Atomic Six.
Atomic Six.
Atomic Six.
Atomic Six.
Okay, there's two
Atomic Six.
There's two types of people right now. There's a group that's going, no, he probably heard. If he really does hate the jingles, he probably listened to 30 seconds of it and said, no, I'm not that self-involved we talked about before.
It's bigger than the jingles.
Okay, now well, there's certain people that go, no, he's fucking listening.
Of course.
Is he listening or isn't
he's
he listening?
Listening. And he's texting and his friends. Hey, listen to Todd Glass podcast. Okay.
What does it honestly say about him? Because some people say it says nothing. You're saying
it's saying it's a power play. Like, I influenced the show to a great degree. Listen to them talk about me and play jingles.
But it really says it's a crazy dose of self-involvement, right?
Well, maybe, maybe not. I think in this situation, I would listen all the way through just because it's a topic that
Tom,
you put on the table.
I'm going to edit this, and I want you to re-answer the question the way I want you to answer it.
Okay.
Doesn't this say that this guy's got a sickness if he hates jingles, but he's listening to him about himself?
Todd, I'm Atomic Six.
I like it. I fade it out. I feel like I'm losing control. Like, after I say that, he's still...
Well, I hope Atomic Six maybe will write in with his own reaction.
Hey. Don't forget to watch Married with Children Thursdays at 4 on TBS. All right. I am... Okay, this is the last serious thing, and then... Well, like, that was serious. We have one more thing we want to do, okay? And then we're going to... We're good. Oh, this is the way it usually goes. Are you serious?
Hi, everybody. This is Lynn Shore. Wow. On behalf of all of us here on the Todd Glass Show staff, we want to wish Todd happy holidays. Now, where the hell are our fucking presents? Oh, are you shitting me? No fucking presents? This is bullshit, baby!
Oh,
this is not gonna fly! Bullshit!
It seems unprofessional.
Okay, seriously, we love you, Todd. Dreaming of a wife.
That seemed unprofessional, didn't it?
Yeah, he swore during a Christmas.
He's way out of line, were you going to say?
Way out of line.
The ones
I thought I knew Lynn.
Used to know.
Then this.
Then did you say, and then this? You thought you knew Lynn.
And then this.
And then this. Okay, fade it out. All right, listen. Last week on the show, I said this, and... You good over there?
Yeah.
Okay. Where's Watt? Oh, okay. I got nervous.
It's so funny every time.
What are you doing? Switching chairs? What are you?
Yeah, that one creaked.
Yeah, your mom creaks. Okay. Listen, let's stop with the silliness. Okay. All right, hold on 1 second. Let me find my, the hitting of the kids. So last week I talked about on the show, and I said
with Gary
yeah.
Goldman,
and I said Gary Goldman. I said
I never met that guy, and I love him just from the podcast.
You should love him.
He was fantastic.
Yeah,
I have no idea what he looks like. Anything? I'm going to find his
Chris just said he's tall,
but I loved every minute of that
Chris
show.
Just said he's tall, dark, and handsome. Okay, listen. So, very aggressive interview style. Listen. Okay, so we're going to talk about this. We talked about that, and I said I don't mind discussing this type of stuff because the opposite end of it is people talking about how we need to hit our kids and spank them, and I had something that I thought about. I said, how come if it's so right? Now, by the way, people did respond, and that's what I'm about to talk about, that they never show it on a show. How come there hasn't been some producer?
Yes, I heard that. That was a good point.
Okay, so somebody sent in. And by the way, the people that sent it in, and I might get their names wrong. I think Scott sent something in and somebody else, and I'm so – I apologize. But you – Kyle, I think, might have sent something in. Well, one of them said the other one. Let's do the other one first. On Different Strokes, there was something where he had caught shoplifting, and the only alternative, the only answer to that was to spank. But they freeze framed with the hand in the air. Okay, the other time was Good Times. Somebody sent that in today. But here's what makes me happy about it anyway, even if it is shown. First of all, I said there might be a few, and I was surprised that it was a mainstream show. I said not some weird, obscure show. Well, certainly Good Times is not, and also Different Strokes. No, not Married with Children.
Oh, right.
Different Strokes and Good Times were mainstream shows. But it made me happy. First of all, we're talking 30 years ago,
right,
and they wouldn't show it.
Plus, later in the run, probably, when they did their issue shows.
Yeah, but 30 years ago. It's not like we're going 5 years ago. This was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 25. It's 30 years ago, and then they still wouldn't show it. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was Good Times. Now, I want to play this from Good Times. I want to. I think it's worth letting it breathe. And then, again, 30 years ago. And if this was done behind closed doors, that's what I want to point out. So if it's so right, and by the way, again, I don't mind talking about this if I hear him hitting it from another angle. And there's always going to be somebody that tries to find a loophole in what I'm saying. And you know what? You should. That's okay. That's what I do when I disagree with someone. I try to find a loophole in what they're saying. But sometimes there's no loophole. And I'm always trying to make sure there isn't. And when someone said there were two shows, my first instincts were like, damn it, I wish there was none. But then when I saw them both, I went, nope, I still have validity in what I'm saying.
The Office and 30 Rock both did it.
But if it was shows from 30 years ago and they didn't show it. So in Good Times, here's what I want to know why they didn't show it. If it makes children decent, and I would imagine that the people that were talking about spanking that defend it, and there still are people. You know, in some of our circles, I've had someone ask me, Todd, who do you know that still – I go, oh, my God, you really don't – yes. My other friend was there, and it's nice when someone defends you. They go, there's a lot of people that defend it. They don't defend child abuse, of course, but there's a lot of people that defend what they would call proper spanking. Okay. So if that is what it is, and I would imagine you would defend it because it's good. It makes them better people. It's just the most evolved thing you could do to make a child – be disciplined and feel whole. And how can you show a child love but also teach them discipline? Spanking. So what the fuck are you hiding it behind a closed door when it's the most beautiful thing that could show discipline and love all mixed together? Why behind a closed door? Why wouldn't you want to fucking show a beautiful act? They don't hide timeouts. They don't hide other indirect ways that teach children right from wrong. It's not only timeouts. And I love, we've said this a million times when people go, timeouts. Yeah, they fucking work if you start them young and implement it like a motherfucker. Timeouts work. It's not hocus pocus. So if it's so beautiful, why is this scene? This is the scene 30 years ago.
Hey, where do you think you're going?
Hey, man, Mike's studying. I don't want to bother him.
Yeah, well, you get back in there and finish, man. But see, in this house, people study when they're supposed to.
Good thing I'm not a member of this house.
Well, you are this weekend.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, you heard of the extended family? Well, this weekend you part of one, which gives me the right to extend this belt to your behind if I feel like it.
Yeah!
Oh, I'd like to see that.
Oh, you would, huh? Well, anything to oblige a guest, mister.
Oh, man, you gotta be kidding me.
Come on in here.
Oh, you must be crazy. I don't believe this.
I'm gonna make a believer out of you.
He's pulling him in the bedroom by his arm.
No, you know the boy got it. Come on, get your behind.
The audience is applauding because he's getting what's coming to him. It's fun to watch.
I hope your father doesn't go overboard.
Mama, you think Daddy really gonna give Eddie a spanking?
Is a bean green?
Can James Brown get down?
Is your head dead?
Pause it. Okay, hold on. So here's what we're about to see. And again, anybody in our audience that's intelligent knows this whole argument isn't whether kids need discipline. We've talked that a million times. Kids need discipline. The only conversation is how to implement it. So we're about to watch someone that is not only about to give someone a spanking with their pants on with their hand, but with a belt. And the mother in the scene is worried. By the way, this is not to spit on that show. That show depicted what went on in the world, right? Am I right about that?
Yes.
Yeah. So that happened. But we're about to see someone not only with that. So some people might go, well, not with the belt. But this is belt, probably welts, probably a swelling of the child's, you know, there's a reason it can't sit down. And next to it, there's just everyone, not a kid getting a spanking under the pants and all that. It's about to be a child that's about to have serious damage done with a belt. And they're all laughing. It's hysterical.
And yet that was a kinder and gentler time for the projects of Chicago.
Yeah. Back then it was a kindler. So listen, here we go. Hear it? Listen. It's funny.
That sounded like a 6.5 on the Richter scale.
Anyway, I think that gives the gist of it. And they come back and it's still, you know, what they're saying in this scene is you couldn't do that if a child was getting, let's say like something, you know, worse. You couldn't laugh at it. But the hitting, although it's like, yeah, it's never fun to see a child get hit, but it's getting disciplined. But all those jokes around it,
yes.
Like everything, it's like, but in hindsight, to me, that just seems horrible.
Right. It's like forcing them to do their math homework before they get dessert. You know, that's the way it was treated.
Exactly. And by the way, I'm so willing to make my point to point out the differences. I get the difference, and I always say it because I go, it must suck if you're sitting listening to the show and you believe in spanking children, but you don't think I know the difference. Even though I don't agree with spanking, yes, I get that it's not child abuse, but I'd like to see it called that. But I get until that happens, there is a difference. Okay, so if I'm able to break it down and go, there's child abuse, and I'm not calling spanking that. But in the spanking area, I'm only going to start calling it child abuse if it involves a belt. And yeah, at one point, you got to throw that into the – I'm still willing to leave hand to the butt in the gray area. So if we all agree on that, no belt to ass, we got to throw into the child abuse category. In today's society, you can't take a belt. So we're listening to child abuse.
Yes.
Boom. Boom.
A couple of times.
Boom. Boom. Boom, boom, and everyone's laughing because it's still fun. I mean, yeah, you're listening to someone get disciplined in a proper way. That's what I'm pointing. Like, don't wait 30 years to look how stupid that looked. Not for them to depict it, but you know what I mean. I guess they had to depict it, but hey, you know what? Maybe I'm criticizing the show. Am I? Because I don't mind if I am. I just don't want to criticize the wrong person. That did happen, and that was part of what people did. But I think the show showed it, and here's why it bothered me, in a ballsy way to go, no, we don't have to hide that. Or were they saying this happened and it's not right? If they wanted to have a message of that happened and it was wrong, they'd show it. I think it was an attempt to say, yeah, this is what happens, and that's love. If you listen to what comes after that, if people go listen to the whole clip, they sum it all up when it comes back is that you don't have to leave. He thought he had to leave the house. He wasn't their child, but they were treating him as a child. And when it comes back, he thought, oh, I better go now. And he's like, you don't have to go.
Right.
And then the mom comes in and goes, just because he shows you love through discipline, he does that because he does care. So that's what they were showing, that none
right,
of
like
that.
Like the tough football coach who.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, I think what I said is I stand my ground on what I said, like even 30 years ago behind a closed door. And this is people that were defending it must have, you know, wanted to show it.
Well, I think we evolve. And I think that you can see in 30 years' time the change that's happened in our society. And if you go back further, the most violent and raping people were the Vikings, who would just go into countries and steal the women and the gold and burn everything and then leave. Now the Norwegians and the Swedes are the most peaceful, kind people in the world. So things change. Mm-hmm. And now this is a 30-year chunk of time.
Yeah.
But
you know what doesn't bother me when I know it takes time to change? It doesn't bother me. I've always said, even the extremists that might disagree with me, that doesn't bother me. It's people that are so close to being all the way there and hold on to it. There's some reasonably
right.
I'm saying this.
Well, were you spanked as a kid?
Because I always tell this, and when I'm repeating something, I just at least try to keep it shorter. No, all my anger. It took me a little while to figure out where it came from. Like, why am I so angry about this? From just over the last 30 years hearing comedians tell audiences,
right. And then the audience is responding.
They love it.
Right.
They love it.
Like the audience here responded.
Yeah, it was, you know,
but
that's
Gary,
right.
Gary Goldman made a very good point about how it sticks with you and he could remember the Sunday in the drugstore.
And pulling the pants down in public, like I said, that's a whole other level of disgusting. Anyway, we're done talking about that. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. By the way, next week is our Christmas show. By the way, Andrea... Back on that wall, it says, what does it say?
I don't always have a blast, but when I do, it's with Todd Glass.
And it has the Dos Equis guy on it. Hi, everybody. You're listening to the Todd Glass Show. Let me do a Christmas song. Oh, so anyway, here's what I wanted to say about next week, because I got through all of this. Hold on one second. Wait, don't play that. Get the Christmas background music ready.
Okay.
But I want to say this before we take a break, and then we go full-fledged for an hour. We're going to steam. We're going to just... Life. We're gonna steamroll people. Andrea sent the artwork, so thank you. It's a picture of the Dos Equis. I said that already. Not yet. Hold on.
I get excited.
I thought I was gonna say something. Happy holidays. Next week on the show is our Christmas show. And I went to this place, and I'm forgetting the name of it, but it was a music venue. And they were, you could tell, established musicians. If it was like an open mic night of comedy, it wouldn't be people doing comedy for the first night. You had to probably be at a level of professionalism to play at this place. And I forget the name of it, but it was really cool. Like, it was a really cool room and some really good musicians. And this girl went up, it was a friend of mine's client, and for acting, if I think I remember correctly. And her name was Grandma Dirt. You know, I heard them saying, Grandma Dirt's coming up next. And then she went up, and she was just very beautiful, like in a very stunning, just very, very – the type of beautiful I noticed, you know. So that's the type it takes for me to notice it. She was very, very beautiful and very, you know, very plain and gorgeous, you know what I mean? Like not overdone, just very clean and just – and just you know, hot.
You know? Effortless beauty.
Yes. Right. So then she went up and sang, and I was like, shut the fuck up. She was really good, and not a sound that I thought would come out of her. So her name is Grandma Dirt, and she's going to be on next week for the Christmas show.
Oh, cool.
She'll do one of her songs, and then I'm hoping she'll do one Christmas song. So anyway, that's next week for that. And then, but when we went to see her, I'm not joking around. Now, I know what scatting is. There were these people doing this thing, and when she's on, I'm going to ask her, and I hope she'll... I'm not joking. I don't know what it's called, but someone listening will know what I mean. I'll explain it enough. I know scatting is like, but there's no words. They were doing, I kept going. Now, I kept turning to my friends going, hold on, I'm not trying to be disrespectful because I know what it's like to go watch someone. I want to be the person in the audience that's giving. I don't want to be the person I hate that comes to a show. So I was really trying to be in the audience, very supportive. People around us were talking a little. That even bothered me. I'm like, come on, there's someone up on stage singing, you know, even whether you like it or not, you know. But then I did have this inward problem that we kept whispering to all of us. Finally, a friend of mine whispers to me, can you understand anything she's saying? I go, no, I can't understand what she's saying. It's like sometimes if it's Bob Dylan type of, you don't know, but if you listen, you can follow it. You just got to stop and really focus. And then once I did that, I thought, just stop, Todd. Give that person 100. Don't, it's not maybe a song. That's when I was positive. Oh, no, she's not saying anything. And it was this thing, like, put a little reverb in my voice. Here's the difference. Scatting. You know, whatever scatting is, I did it better a minute ago and I wasn't talking about it. This was like this. There was... Happy for the days I went forward. I lived around and the force came over me. Flowers drifting. I was a flower sun. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. What the?
So they were English words.
There's a name for it, though. Someone listening that knows a lot about music has probably gone, this is probably what Todd's talking about.
Is it guess like what? A stream of consciousness?
That's exactly what I said. I go, is this like extreme of like thoughts and just streaming this way and thoughts streaming that way and you take it the way you want to take it. And guess what, though? The last thing I want to do is be ignorant when it comes to music. So I will learn and educate myself. But my instincts
were...
Was
it Grandma Dirt doing this or
no,
someone else?
No, of course not. Okay. Grandma Dirt was great. Made me have...
Well, I don't know. This person may have been great too, but...
No, no. You're right. It might just... I might not know. You might think, no, you like what you like. No, you can educate yourself. Yeah. If there is something, it might not be it's my cup of tea, but it, my instincts were, with all that out of the way, it wasn't my thing.
Well, you know, when you think of Beck was a master at this, if you listen to I'm a Loser, Baby, it's pretty nonsense stuff. Like, in the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey. And like, it just goes on and on from that. And it's one of my favorite songs, but the lyrics are complete crazy nonsense that yet hold together perfectly.
Okay, but, I'd have to hear it. I'd have to hear it, because at first I was going to say, but so you really, I have to hear it. Maybe, yeah. You're right. You could show me something else done. I'll be like, oh, I like that.
Right.
Yeah, that's that.
Maybe it was
that's
obviously a different thing than that.
Well, you certainly know a lot about music, Tom.
Thank you.
Beck this, Beck that. Ay-yay-yay-yay-yay-yay. All right, let's do this. Let's, Ringo Starr had some good songs. My mom, I used to listen to this. She used to listen to this when I was growing up. Honest, to George Carlin. I remember this song.
The lady that I know just came from Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
She smiled because I did not understand.
Oh, I feel good.
Then she held out some marijuana. Uh-huh. She said it was the best in all the land. And I said, no, I don't smoke it no more. I'm tired of waking up on the floor.
Good job.
No, thank you, please. It only makes me sneeze. And then it makes it hard to find the door.
Take it away, Ringo. I like the way you sound.
I know just came from Mallorca, Spain.
Yeah.
She smiled because I did not understand.
Okay.
Then she held out a 10-pound bag of cocaine.
Whoa.
She said it was the finest in the land.
What happened?
And I said, no, I don't sip it no more. Tired of waking up on the floor.
Thank you.
No, thank you, please. It only makes me sneeze. And then it makes it hard to find the door.
I'm happy, so happy right now. Isn't this fun?
Yes.
I hope it's fun for the listeners. All right, enough with the musical interlude.
Nashville, Tennessee, oh.
Mm-hmm.
He smiled because I did not understand.
That's not necessary.
Then he held out some moonshine whiskey, oh.
Yeah.
He said it was the best in all the land.
And he wasn't joking.
And I said, no, I don't drink it no more. I'm tired of waking up on the floor.
A little louder, guys.
No, thank you, please. It only makes me sneeze. And then it makes it hard to find the door.
Oh, yes.
No, I can't take it no more. I'm tired of waking up on the floor. No, thank you, please. It only makes me sneeze. And then it makes it hard to find the door.
I like that you guys kept singing. It's like you shutting that background music off ain't gonna stop us. They call you Lady Luck, but there's no room for doubt. If you've got this rhythm, I can make you sing too. I like to sing with my hits. If you've got music like this. All right, that's all I got.
Todd, you're a good singer now.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to the Todd Glass Show. Okay, hold on. What's... that song.
Hey there, listeners. Jingle Joe here. In the spirit of the season, I just wanted to slow down and take a moment to wish you and your loved ones a high Glen.
You get, you know, from the joke. Yeah. I sound so immature saying that. Do you get it?
Yes.
The guy who does it's that to me. That's a character, even though it doesn't have a mustache. But the character there is like the guy. Just you, he loves the show. Might listen to it. Doesn't get a thing we're talking about. Yeah, you should say hi, Glenn. Well, no, you didn't really understand the analogy. I just wanted to say it, everybody. Hi, Glenn. Well, yeah, we'll do that in a second. Oh, did you see what happened downstairs? They got a sultry lion.
A what?
The people downstairs, they bought a sultry lion, and she sultries in here sometimes, and she loves, oh, the sultry lion. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
She's freshly bathed.
Oh, yes.
She's walking up to you. She likes you. You want to pet her?
I'm a little scared, but
No. She's a sultry lion.
Is she tame?
Pet her.
Yeah, she's soft.
Oh, yeah.
Soft.
You can tell they like you when they roar like that.
Yeah. Is it okay if I don't pet her, though?
No, you don't have to pet her. She's a sultry lion.
All right, I'm going
to
stop.
Oh, she's so, look at her swaggering all over to Eric.
Yeah.
Look at her. She likes you.
I think I'm a little nervous.
Oh, no. Look at her. She's taking her mane and she's rubbing. Are you? Okay. Yeah, you don't have to pet her. Tell the trainer. Just tell the trainer. Obviously, she's here with the trainer. People aren't stupid.
Is the lion bothering you, Eric?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've never been here.
I love that Chris does the. Hold on. Shut everything off. I love that Chris does the. It's very.
A foreign. Maybe a German.
Tiger.
What was the show that was
Siegfried and Roy?
Siegfried and Roy. Is the tigers bothering you?
Tiger.
You know,
tiger.
The other
tiger.
Night.
Tiger.
All right, that's not. That can't tiger. Be. That can't tiger. Be enjoyable
tiger.
For anybody, could it?
Tiger.
Just keep doing it.
Tiger.
Who am I to argue?
Tiger.
Tiger.
You know what we could do with this bit?
Tiger.
By the way, you
tiger.
Know we used to have were the bailouts?
Yes.
The bit is on.
The bit. The bit. Play it.
The bit.
The bit is on. Play us doing it at the house the other night. We were all hanging out at my house and Blake. Yes.
Is this Lynn?
No, it's Blake. That was Lynn. Remember the one?
Of course I do.
Hey, Chris, what am I going to do with you?
Todd, you came up with a brilliant idea.
Now go further in it, though. Further in.
Expect us to make
that. Keep going.
If we don't actually have.
The bit. The bit is on fire. We don't need no water. Let that fucking bit burn. Burn, motherfucker.
Blake Wexler.
Burn, motherfucking bit burn. 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 Burn, motherfucking bit burn.
That bit. That bit is on fire.
We don't need no water. Let that motherfucker burn. Burn, motherfucking bit, burn. Burn, motherfucking bit, burn.
Okay. That's it.
I love
that's
Blake's voice.
Thanks for playing the music in the background, Chris.
So that was us. That all started by me going, by Eric going, you know that thing, burn, let that. He goes, we should do that. And then Blake started to sing it. And that was us singing it. Then Lynn did another version. I think I like the Blake's version.
Yeah.
Let's hear Lynn's again.
The bit is on fire. We don't need
I like it. You know what? I like this one, too. Look, I don't want the other person going, oh, he's allowed to make fun of the jingles. I compliment these jingles enough where if I have one slight liking over another, sometimes I'm forced to choose as the jingle dad of this show, and I have to pick one over the other.
I would say if you're using them a lot, Lynn's. But if it was just once in a while, then the other one. This is
hey.
People would like to hear over and over.
Yes. Which one?
Lynn's.
All of them, I think they like to hear.
Okay.
All right, stop that, please. Anyway, then you do whatever you want. Oh, sure. You can do whatever you want. I don't care.
So what happened to the tiger? Is he safe? Is it safe?
He's coming over towards me. You saw him. Oh, you saw him. Come here.
I wish she wasn't here.
No. You know what?
Todd, don't
I respected that you guys were scared, but this sultry lion.
Todd.
Oh, look at her. Come here, you mushy.
It's not a puppy.
Look what I do to her face. Look what I do to her face.
Todd, don't
come
do
here,
that.
I'm pushing it.
Don't do that,
they
Todd. Don't do
it. You're the sultry
lion. Where's the trainer?
No, no, the lion loves me. Listen to it purr.
I'm sorry. It's a tiger. It's actually a mountain tiger. It loves you very much.
Well, I don't think it should be in here. I don't think.
Oh, I'm going to look at me opening its jaw.
Todd, you're not trained to put your head.
Don't put your mouth in there.
Fade everything out. It's getting this is like old school chaos tonight, but that's a good thing. Hey Tom,
what? So I'll just take the tiger.
Yes, Chris still.
Should I just
Chris
take
still goes right back to the bit?
Should I just take the tiger and leave?
His instincts are right. People are going to wonder what happened to the tiger. And
Because
we had a wild, sultry tiger in here.
Hold on. Obviously,
Mr.
I want to
Glass,
get...
Mr. Glass?
Hold on.
Mr. Glass.
Get away
you
from
have an ex-
Don't.
You
Chris,
have an extra...
Chris, you know I'm trying to reel you in right now. You can't blatantly ignore me, right?
Listening.
Well, now you don't have to go to the other extreme either.
Let me finish.
Oh, go ahead. What?
I was going to say, Mr. Glass, you have an extra hour with the tiger. Do you want me to keep it here? Do you want me to take it and leave?
I figured you were going to do something like that.
Yeah.
I figured you were going to do a bit with the tiger.
You can't let me say it.
Well, you were great. And everything you do is great. And
you
okay.
had to cut it off. And Eric had to turn my mic off. All right.
Seriously, don't do that. You're getting... Don't... You know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. No, I really don't know what you're talking about.
I know what you guys are talking about.
When you get high and there's like a... And I can't like get through to you.
Well,
and
no,
you... But
you,
this is what you always do when I point it
oh,
out.
God.
You get confusing.
Here they go.
But you literally just cut me off. You didn't try to get...
Where did you guys meet?
Where did we meet? I think it was actually... it must have been... it was at the Horden...
The
Whore Festival. Yeah. Oh, my God. We were so embarrassed.
Horden Whore Festival.
The Horden Whore Festival. Yeah. No, seriously. And he walks in, and I'm like, oh, my God. Why were...
Yeah. You guys know that they've canceled the Horden Whore Festival.
And
no,
that's...
Still a...
10 years ago. Did you meet 10 years ago at the Horden
Whore Festival? It was seven...
Oh, you guys probably met it. They redid it like 5 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah,
they didn't get enough
17
people.
17 and 5 years
five,
ago.
17,
22.
38, 59,
yeah,
79
years ago.
These are two guys really trying to like right. disguise.
What was your favorite part of the Horden Horror Festival?
We both, the firework.
Was that sponsored by Ben and Jerry's back then?
Fire breathing.
The Ben and Jerry's.
That booth was great.
Fire breathing Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, there was a Ben and Jerry's that had
ben
a fire breathing.
No, come to think of it, it wasn't Ben and Jerry's.
You're right. That's why he was looking at me funny.
Yeah, it was
Baskin-Robbins. Baskin-Robbins.
Right. No, and I don't. Well, maybe.
So Todd worked at the Baskin-Robbins.
The bit is on fire.
Play the other
should
one.
Should do
play
2 hours.
That bit was so bad. We just did, I think, or it could have been great. Who knows? Play the other bit. It's deserving. When a bit really fucking sinks like a motherfucker, you owe the Blake Wexler version.
Oh,
because that just says it nice and clear into the mic. Oh, you don't have that.
That fucking bit burns. Burn, motherfucking bit burn.
Burn, motherfucking bit burn.
No, let's stop this. I feel like things are out of control. Let's just do something normal because I just feel like whatever's calming, let's do that. Oh, here comes.
Oh, shit.
Just what I was in the mood for.
I don't like that thing.
Can I, guys, you're making me nervous. This lion adores me. That's why I can. Look what I'm doing to its face.
Don't grab its cheeks. Are you crazy?
Why are you
putting your dick in it?
Shut the fuck up. I don't like improv because then anybody can make you do whatever they want you to do. Oh, don't put your dick in it.
I just got what I said.
Yes.
And we are holding it too close to your. To your mid area.
You didn't realize that would be a funny type of improv where you're supposed to be meaner and nastier. So somebody, you can make the other person do whatever you want. Like, right. Why are you in my house? What do you mean? And then you make them do some, like, you know, you're fucking my parrot or something. I'm lost. Oh, here comes the soldier line. All right, enough with that. I don't like that bit anymore. I'm just fed up with everything right now.
No, you're not, Todd.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
Hey, by the way.
We wish you a marijuana and a happy
cocaine. The happy cocaine. Wish you a marijuana. We wish you a marijuana. We wish you a marijuana and a happy cocaine. La, 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 la,
la, la, la, la. Who is that?
My uncle. No lie. I swear to God.
Really?
Yeah, he started recording country Christmas songs a long time. Do you mind playing a little more of them? He's great. My uncle is great.
He has some other tunes, some other hits.
Well, you'd like to hear this one again?
I guess, yeah. It's the season, right?
He'd get the whole crowd doing this. He'd get the whole crowd going.
What were some of his other...
We Wish You a Marijuana. That's what he was known for. The only reason this would make me sad to clear this, if it was someone that seriously had a problem. Hi, everybody. This is Todd Glass. We'd like to wish you a happy holiday from everybody here at the Todd Glass Show. You know, we're sure glad you take the time to tune in every week and take a journey with us. You know, ladies and gentlemen, every week I consider a privilege to be a part of your family. You know, when people write me emails and say they're a part of my family, I say, you know what, I'm a part of your family. So from our family here at the Todd Glass Show, and that includes with us today, Tom Martin, the always very, very talented Irk, and also Chris Burden's here with us today. Katie's not sitting here right now, but she's with us in spirit. And one of a funny comedian with us today by the name of Watt is sitting in. From our family to yours, God bless your soul. God bless your motherfucking soul. I fucking want your soul to be just fucking bursting with excitement. All right, shut this music off. I'm lost.
No, that was beautiful.
I'm not really lost. I'm afraid I'm being too silly.
No, you're not. You're being introspective. Periodically.
Tom,
you know what this can lead to. Marijuana is a gateway drug.
Do you really feel that it is?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Jesus.
The reason that...
What's this? Hold on. Let Neil talk. Give us some pot. Forget what you are. You can be what you're not. High, high. I want to get high. Never give it up if you give it a try. Ah, thank you for letting Neil say what he needed to say. Tom, what's your experience?
Oh, well, I started toking marijuana back in third grade.
Jesus.
One thing led to another. Pretty soon, you know, every day I was getting high.
Wow.
I was skipping recess to get high, and that's where I first encountered smack, which is what they called heroin back then.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so I started shooting up with heroin, and...
oh, my.
Yeah, it wasn't long before I stopped paying my taxes entirely. But then that was a good thing because it led me to think, I've got to get my stuff together. So by the time I was in sixth grade, I had gotten past that, and I had started five businesses, and I was able to rehabilitate downtown Portland with the money I made because I was finished with marijuana and all drugs altogether. So I'm very thankful that I was able to encounter marijuana at such a young age. Hot, hot. Give us some
pot, forget what you are, you can be. The American Pot Association of America. It doesn't have to be bad. It depends what you are. I could do a Christmas song. Play this background music, the Christmas Joe, the Christmas background music. Do we have that? Can we have some reverb? Erk, are you enjoying the show? I notice when you're recording, Katie has stepped out and you are stepping in. It's a lot of buttons to worry about, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not so easy, is it? Remember all those years you used to say about Katie? anybody could sit behind that fucking board.
I don't think I ever said
that. I think you were saying something like that once because I was like, well, you know, you'd be surprised. You have to worry about this. You have to worry about that. There's background noise and you went, a fucking monkey could do that. And then you vomited on your sweater.
Yeah, Todd texted me that you said that. So,
all right, that's not funny. All right, so let me bring it up a little. Can I have a little reverb? Oh, it's Christmas time, a happy time of the year. Oh, we should do hits for this. Play it again. No, maybe this song doesn't have hits. Hi, everybody. I'm Todd Glass. You know, we sure had a good... Why do I love the first part of that? It's so phony. Hi, everybody. I'm Todd Glass. You know, here on the Todd Glass Show, we wanted to wish you a very happy holiday. You know, the producers... All right, shut this off. We got to go in for the close.
Oh, shit.
The Sultry Lion's here. Oh, my God. It brought beers.
You know, I'm just as frightened by her trumpet player that's accompanying her. I mean, why...
You make him do a lot of work over here. He's got to get a trumpet on the soundboard now. Tom, that's like when you used to write me sketches. Remember you used to help me out and I was like working on a very low budget show and you'd go, you used to send me sketches and it would be like, girl pulls off in a cherry red, you know, 1962 Camaro. I'm like, yeah, I got to get that, you know.
Right. I assumed a lot of
you know what?
Prop and staff.
The Sultry Lion, maybe. All right, shut this all off. Shut this all off. Tom.
I rescue sultry lions. I have a sultry lion farm.
You were wanting to...
Yeah, well, I was excited that Tom was coming in today.
Oh, thank you.
They never heard your stand-up.
Yeah, oh, my gosh.
So we just went to YouTube, and it is hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
They love you.
We got some clips that I thought the listeners would love to hear.
I said, just go put his name in there.
It's just amazing.
And well, my name is a pretty common name, so...
Well, it's... okay, here we go. By the way, they love you.
I am a wild and crazy.
Oh no, no, Todd, you
shh, let him play it. They love it.
Let us play
shut up.
It now.
They don't know.
When he was a young man,
Tom Martin.
No, that's not me.
That's.
Any
great Tom Martin, everybody.
This is one of your best.
No, you heard him in the intro. Please welcome to Martin.
Well, it wasn't really.
You do yeah, well, you know, I suppose.
This wasn't your best one.
No, I mean, I did this first, yes.
It's hard which way to go with this bit. Do you play the guy who like who lies, or but you have you just soak it in, or do you try to argue the whole time?
No, but seriously, there's a story behind that. I mean, when that first came out,
so this is you?
Oh, yes. I had written a very similar song. I mean, I sang it. At the time, Steve Martin, his singing wasn't up to chops. He'd been playing his banjo a lot at Knott's Berry
and,
Farm.
And by when we say playing his banjo a lot, I think we all know what we're talking about in the inner circle.
Oh, yes.
Playing his banjo.
Right.
Yeah. You know what they meant? Whenever you were on the road with Steve Martin and they go, where's Steve? He goes, oh, he's in the back playing room playing his banjo. We know what happened.
So anyway, he had a polyp in his throat, and he couldn't sing, so he was lip syncing.
Is this true?
Oh, yeah.
You swear to God?
That's me singing.
You swear to God?
And he's just lip syncing. Yeah.
Do you mind doing a live version? We'll put the karaoke
version
in.
Well, I've since had a polyp in my vocal cords.
These polyps run in your stories.
Yeah.
Not even in your family. Can we play another one? Whose? Oh, you have more? Did you really? Okay, play more.
I can't remember.
They love it. Here you go. Play more. Oh, no, not more of this song. I thought you had another bit. Ladies love the sky. Born in Arizona, moved to Babylonia.
This is another one of his bits.
No, that was the same one we just heard.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. Oh, well, I liked the Born in Arizona. After that, there's... Well, now, this is something different.
This is one of my favorites that you did.
Yeah, yeah, it really caught on.
You feel guilty, so you just vaguely go, yeah, it really caught on.
Yeah, I... You know, a lot of people did that, too, who maybe were named Martin.
Listen, everything's fine. You know what? Speaking of Steve Martin and speaking of comedians and speaking of speaking and it being I try to confuse everybody. I always think it's a friend of mine over the weekend saw a performer and they were surprised. The opening act was horrible. Right. And it was, and I was like, some acts do that. I was like, you know, he asked me why, and I was like, well, a lot of acts don't. They want to bring somebody good, mm-hmm. But then there are those acts that do that. It's not the most of them, and I'm not talking about bringing somebody new. That's nice. Like when you work at, I like when you work at the Acme Comedy Club. That he's at least my perception of it. That he really nurtures the newer people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's fun to have someone like that open for you. But they still do the job. When you go to, let's say, like I said, the Acme and those two acts, even if they might be newer, they still fucking – that they do a good job ahead of you. They're new, but they know what they're doing, and that's why they're, you know, getting weekends at the Acme, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if they've been doing it. I've worked with acts. Hey, how long have you been doing it? They're like 2 years. I'm like, really? But they go out there every night. They do their time, and they're good. But I'm talking about – so that's nice. But the acts that bring – just a horrible act. It's not even fair to the act because it's not the act's fault. I would take any job I got. You're just not ready, maybe. And that's who they – maybe it's not right for their audience.
What did Louis C.K. say to you?
No, no. But they bring that horrible act, and I'm thinking it's almost funny. Like, we couldn't help. We were being silly about it over the weekend. We're like, yeah, like at one point, have enough self-respect for our audience that you don't have to like – it would be like if you went, you know what I do? I go out on that stage. I put – have my crew put six buckets of shit all over the audience. And then what I do, I get that whole crowd stinking. They're like, oh, my God, it stinks like shit in here. Then I put on a fan, I exhaust it out, and then they introduce me right then.
So by association, everything is good now, well, because and they're seeing me.
At least, even if I'm not funny, at least the room don't stink like shit. Like that's, well, why don't you just go all the way? Why don't you go all the way, you know? We hand out hot towels right when I'm introduced. It makes them feel like they're wiping the shit off of their face. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say about that. So I'm just like, I'm thankful. It's my way of getting another 2 years in with Louie.
So who does that?
Did you hear what I just said? Right, yeah. It's my way of keeping with Louie. Like if he was thinking, you know, Louie, just, I don't want him to let me go. I think it's my way of saying, hey, Todd's right. You should have a good act ahead of you. All right, enough with that. Louie. Did we talk about the cop? If we talked about this, I'm seriously going to have a medical examination done because I, you know, sometimes you might forget, but I shouldn't. This would be wrong if we've talked about this, but I'm going to think we didn't. I might have thought about it. But I can't, if I did, I did, and I'm going to leave it in both times so people can see how much I can forget. But I swear to you, to George Carlin, to my best recollection, I don't think I talked about this. It's something I thought, I think I was going to talk about it last week. But I didn't. But now everyone knows. The listeners are going, no, he talked about this. I'm leaving this in. But I hope that everyone's like, no, he never talked about it. Longest setup in the world. It's worth it. This is what I want to talk about. When I was in Atlanta, this cop, I was hanging out with Chris from the show and one of Chris's friends there in Preston. They're younger. They probably look like they're, you know, young, like a young group of kids, you know. I'm in there with them. I'm an adult. And,
How old were
they're like probably, Chris? You know, 21, 20, 18, and that. Right. No, 21. Mm-hmm. 21,
we're all about
21, 24. Not that it even matters, but his friend is 24. So anyway, we're all standing. It's the after I'd opened up for Louis, we came out onto the front of the theater. It's a big circle driveway in front. Not a car to be seen. The show's going on. It's just nothing going on. And the circle driveway, it's a circle driveway and meshed right in with no difference is the curb. So the curb is the same level.
Right, I've seen that.
You know, it's just like it's just very perfectly manicured, and we're standing on the street, which is just, you know, it looks like it's a, you know, it's all we're not in New York, but it doesn't matter.
And he walks over. This is where Georgia.
This is in Athens, and he walks over and he goes, either people will get it or it doesn't. But obviously, it's still bothering me. Not every day, but when I think about it, after it happened, I did fantasize for about 2 days what I wish I would have said. And he goes, "Hey, which part of the?" Street over there looks like the curb, huh? No. You don't get to talk to me like that. You can be mildly disrespectful like a flight attendant with tone, but you don't get to outwardly be disrespectful. That's my instincts right away. Oh, no, I'm an adult. You don't get to do that to me. You don't get to walk around. So to really, you know, I kept – and then I think, what's wrong with you, Todd? Let it go. But I, you know, and I did, but yeah, I would still think it up again.
Was he in a position of authority to say that, or was he just a passing?
No, he was in front of the theater. He had his car parked in the middle of the street with the lights on.
Okay.
As he directed traffic in and out of the theater. But he was a police officer. Believe me, I know. Reminds me of Lynn Shore's wife once told me a story. She was driving through like one of those closed-in communities, an old age like community where it's like all these homes, and one of the indoor security people was trailing her. She goes, "No, I'm not pulling over." And the guy followed her in a golf cart, lights or whatever, not a golf cart, but a little pickup truck. Lights a-blazing, honking the horn, point. And Teresa, I go, "God bless you. God bless you for get your right to go." And Teresa goes, "No," I'm going, "No.
Right.
I'm not pulling over. This is all for you. It has nothing to do with me evading the law. You want
to
act like a cop."
He wanted to write her a warning.
Yes. For no reason. I'm not going to learn. And he goes, she followed him right out. The gate shut. He made a U-turn and went right back in. Yeah, because there's nothing he could do but hope some people bought it.
Right, yes.
Oh, shit. Ooh, the lights were ablazing. I had to pull over. Oh, they got me today.
Pull your car over.
I don't know if you told that story.
This is the Wilshire Sherlock Development 62.
Officer, I need to pull you over to give you a warning.
Hello?
Well, please pull your car over. I need to pull you over to give you a warning. Please stop revving your car up. Pull it over. I'm going to give you a warning. Get it? The worst he can do
is give a warning.
I'm going to pull. I have my lights ablazing. I have you lit up. I'm. Please. All right, turn it off.
Did you call for backup?
Hello, Tay, you're a 4552. I went southern.
We got a runner.
We got a runner over here. We got a runner. We have a runner.
Do not open
where's
the gates.
Where's the runner? Hold on. Where's the runner? We don't have a runner until Chris decides we have a runner. Chris, where's the runner?
I don't know what a runner is.
The screeching. We got a chainsaw. We got a guy with a chainsaw. we got a guy revving his engine.
He peels up. You're not allowed
we
to trim your trees here.
We got a guy
here.
Jumping in a pond. We got a guy jumping in the
pond. No swimming.
Here.
There's no swimming sign.
We got a guy swimming. We got a guy swimming over here. He's giving me more stuff. We got a guy on his computer. We got him. We got a guy on his computer. We got him. Give me more stuff. Oh, we got a guy playing show tunes over here. Okay, we got him. We got a guy playing show tunes. We got him. We got a guy on a computer. We got the cat. We got the cat, we got the guy on the computer, we got the guy revving the engine, we got the guy with his band, we got him. Tenfold. We got it. Alright, fade it out.
This is when I worry. Hello? Okay, that's enough, seriously. Hold
that's
on.
That's a busy seniors development.
I feel like what I'm doing is annoying right now to the people.
You're overthinking it.
Thank you. It's exactly what you should have said. Alright. Hold on. I could sing like this. Aren't I better than this?
Yes. I'm not kidding when I say you've actually become a decent singer.
Wouldn't it be funny if I go out and get the worst singers in the world? Just because they're on the internet doesn't mean they're legitimate. I'm like, I'm as good as this. People are like, yeah, you are as good as that. That's horrible.
You're better than a lot of the people on YouTube.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I've been trying to say. Now, this is my uncle. You like him?
Oh, he's terrific.
Yeah.
Did he do another song that...
No, just this one.
Different uncle?
No. This is my own. What am I doing the bit wrong? I feel you're trying to lead me somewhere. No,
well,
do you like?
There was that marijuana song that your uncle did.
Oh, my uncle that wrote the that's the truth.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't know you. No, that's the truth.
Oh, is it?
Oh yeah, that's the truth. I'm not even making that up. That is the absolute
swear to
truth.
George Carlin.
Well,
so that's your uncle.
This is my uncle. I swear to God, he loves to sing.
It was terrific.
Every year, you know what his dream is? That people sing along with him.
Really?
It doesn't make any sense, the song. And can I tell you the sad part? Hold on. Shut this off. It's my uncle, I swear to God.
Uh-huh.
He just loved to sing, and he was just a free spirit, and he was the worst singer in the world. But you know what? He's passed away, but we have this recording of him, and he just loved to sing, and the song made no sense. He just loved silliness, and he would always, every Christmas, sing, "We miss your marijuana, happy cocaine." I think it was his way of just saying, like, it was so silly and made us laugh because we were kids and he was mentioning those words to us. And so if you don't mind, I think he would just, I don't know why I thought it was necessary to. You like it? Oh, that's what I do now. You like it?
I love it.
Yeah, he loved it.
Story. I didn't know.
This is when he was at his happiest. We wish you a marijuana. We wish you a marijuana and a happy cocaine. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm done. We got to wrap things up. That means we're going to take a while, people. May I have reverb in my voice, please? I am sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, the John Carlton Orchestra tonight is apparently sleeping. Well, none of their checks are. You guys, I'll tell you what. When I want something, I get it when I want it. Bring that, can you bring that up music, that louder, that background, that when those hits come? Yeah. Go as loud as it goes. I want to see what that sounds like. Yeah. That's okay. I like the way Chris works. This is him at his best. I need something, he goes right into that fucking computer and he's going to change things around for me. By the way, this show I think is fun, Tom. Are you having a good
time?
Wait,
hold on.
This is you're like this
wish
is
you
a
show. I'm stuck on that song still. Marijuana. Mm-hmm. It's Christmas time, and the second holiday he referenced was New Year's, but he said cocaine.
I know.
It doesn't make any sense.
He didn't make any sense. No, we eventually. Is that louder?
Yeah.
They call it Lady Luck, but there's no room for doubt. That's what I need to travel with me. Chris has come up with this is a magical night, ladies and gentlemen. With this background music, I can make up songs now, because on one track, well, we have what you're hearing. Now, that might get monotonous after a while, but I'm not going to let it get to after a while. I'll always know when to keep it just perfectly short.
Todd, you could tour with this song.
I could tour with this song all year. All year. No, you got to go in hard. All year long. I love to say things and have this happen. And it's fun to do. I don't know why. But it makes me seem like I... Well, what the fuck was that? What the fuck was that? What the fuck was this? What was that? Hey, I've got to tell you, get out of my way. All right, shut that off. It's starting to win.
This would be great if you had the mobile comedian truck still, and then you would fold out and Chris appeared.
I would like that. Wait, that sounded gross.
I'm Philippe Kahn, and I created the camera phone.
I'm Ray Kurzweil.
I gave your words a voice.
I created the ability to share video.
We turned your smartphone into a musical genius.
And I turned it into a bank.
I created Instagram.
I created the first text message.
And I'm Todd Glass. And I invented the Todd Glass Show. On the Nerdist Network.
Wow. That, every time I hear
all the
that,
great ones of our era.
That was to. I remember waking up, and this is a true story. And I was standing at my brother's house, and they go, "Todd, you were put in this Best Buy ad." Is, you know, I was like, "Fuck!" It's like stupid. It's just an ad, but I was really touched. Do you believe me?
Oh, totally, because I heard the commercial.
Moron. Hey, stupid.
I know what I heard.
I made it up.
No, you didn't.
I edited that together.
You don't know how to edit.
I do, too.
I've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it.
They
I've seen
Mahatma
it.
They had Mahatma Gandhi and all the famous people who invented.
Yeah, let's be two guys that try to. They have this aggression, but we have nothing good to say. Like, we can't make up good, angry stuff. Yeah, I'll tell you, you got a problem.
Yeah, how would you even know? You hardly even know what problems are.
Let me tell you something. I happen to know. If anybody knows what problems are, I know what problems are.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know what a problem is.
You're not even good at parking.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Let me tell you something. When it comes to parking.
Yeah, when did you go to the dentist?
Hey, by the way, you know I told
the
once.
The bit is on fire. We don't need no water. Let that motherfucker burn.
Let the motherfucking bit burn.
That's right.
Burn. Hey, which part of that curb looks like?
Yeah,
which...
what did you say ultimately?
Nothing.
To the guy? Oh, but what did you want to say?
I wanted to say. Honestly, I think if anyone thought that
Todd,
this...
you came up with a brilliant.
The bit
is on fire.
We don't need no water. Let that fucking bit burn. Burn, motherfucking bit, burn. Burn,
this is at my house.
Motherfucking bit, burn. Burn, motherfucking bit, burn. Burn, motherfucking bit, burn. Burn, motherfucking bit, burn.
Can be honest, I'm a little bit under the weather right now. You know what I'm talking about? We're not referencing the bit I'm doing now, are we?
Or no, are the we? One you were just doing. Remember when I just played the song and I just I got delayed.
Oh, okay. But which bit were we doing that we're referencing?
I don't know.
Well, I thought that you had something clever locked and loaded to say to this guy, but you forgot to say it. What, the guy at the curb in Athens or wherever you
are. Oh, thank you. Yeah, we just got lost in thought. Thank you. Thank you. No, I didn't know, but what I fantasize, and once I tell this, I think you might say, like, yeah, that's what I'm hoping. Like, they thought... Over this story, it was burn, burn, burn. No, this is a great story, which I defend. No, it's not a great story, but I think everybody can relate because I think we've all done something like that. It's some, you know, what am I holding? What was it? But you just, you know, someone wronged you, and then you can't help but think, I wish I would have done this. So my fantasy was, it's not so over the top. It's not at all. It would be, matter of fact, very realistic fantasy. It's not like, oh, I should have said something. I fantasy was this. Sad that I have a fantasy, but this is what it was. That I would say, hey, Chris, turn the camera on. Are you recording this? Okay. I'm recording this so this doesn't get... Okay, what could he have done after that? So this only gets taken out of context. I'm away from you, but you can't talk to me like that. That was just disrespectful. And maybe it's because you saw some kids here that were 18 years old and that's the way, but as a full-grown adult, I get it. If I respect you and do what you say, you... stopped and see what he would have said.
Right.
If he would have probably been a little bit sarcastic, I go, no, no, and just stood my ground. And knowing there's nothing he could do. Because right. I've done enough ride-alongs to know that, you know, it's not New York 30 years ago where a cop would hit you over the head with a billy club. You know?
Right.
You were allowed to defend yourself justifiably. I see people do, when I do ride-alongs, doing stuff that's flat-out rude. And I always ask, well, can't they do anything? No, as long as they do what you say and they sit where they sit, sometimes they run their mouth. You know, you can't hit them over the head because they might say something just partly. You want to.
Right.
But my friend goes, one of my friends, it's a really great cop. He was really, you know, like one of, he would say that he goes, yeah, that's what, if you just do that type of stuff, it's easy to be a cop. What makes it hard to be a good cop is that, yeah, when you feel like hitting someone over the head with a 2x4, you don't.
Right.
You realize that a lot of power is placed upon me. But you go back, I'm sure it still happens, but you know what I'm talking about. Some of that stereotypical New York stuff, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
But times have changed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and for the best. Even though we'd love to say I was good a little, give a street justice. Yeah, with a lot of that, more bad came than good.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know what I mean by, like, no good came of it. But I'm saying even if it was any false perception of good, it would be, you know, somebody gets caught taking a purse and you say, yeah, give him a little. But along with that,
I had a cop punch me in the stomach with the pointed end of a billy club for trying to sneak into a high school basketball game. And it sucks because you think, like, that was really wrong. I didn't know cops were that bad. But he probably just sick of all these assholes trying to sneak in, and he'd had it, and I was the wrong guy.
Well, I don't want to go off on a tangent because I am, for lack of a better word, pro-cop.
Oh, me too. I mean, I was definitely doing something wrong, but...
Yeah, no, but I don't want to sound like a...
No, I know what you mean, though.
Yeah.
I
sound like I'm because I'm pro-cop, I'm also, you know... realize, and I got, this is an interesting discussion once I got into with a cop friend of mine, and I said, I always defend you, and I told him the story how, now look, this has been like 10 years since this happened, so it gets a little bit, what I was basically saying was, no, I go, I always defend you, I always say, you know, about 70% of the cops are good, and there's like 30% that are bad. He goes, Todd, he goes, no, there's not 30% bad cops, like, or, you know, whatever the percentage was, I go, oh, and he thought I meant bad, like throw a gun in bad,
right.
Steal
plant
money from
evidence.
The scene. No. When most people know bad cops, the average people, it's the problem is Napoleon complexes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gives the cops a bad reputation with decent people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were pulled over. You know, pull me over. Just give me a ticket. Treat me with respect. But you get one of these cops. You know what I'm talking about. They have a Napoleon complex. They have this speech they love to give. I go to my friend, that's where cops get the bad reputation from. None of my friends ever dealt with a cop for throwing in a gun or what you're – so, yeah, that – he goes, oh, you're right. He goes, that number of cops that do that type of damage is very low. But I go, how many are Napoleon complexes?
Mm-hmm.
He goes – and it's funny. And he went, look, no one knows his name or I'll bleep it out before. Not that it would ever hurt him. He goes, oh, shit, 75% of them, if not more. Like, he knew it.
Yeah.
I go, well, let me tell you something. That hurts the force.
Yeah, it does.
Those cops. Because let me tell you something. I've been pulled over by a cop that doesn't do that and still gave me a ticket. I wasn't fucking happy. But you know what? I appreciated it.
Yeah.
He just did it perfectly. He didn't give me any. I didn't need a lecture. He said what he wanted and he was still. He didn't. But I've also been treated really shitty by cops. Even when I did everything right. You know, and they just had that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm
not
shitty, by the way. I didn't get
day,
beat.
Or
yeah, scaring me for no reason when I was younger. But then as you get older, you realize, oh, no, you know. Anyway, I feel like I'm going off.
I just remembered, though, there's always a backstory to a cop story. I do remember I shoved him first now.
Oh, well, that's why I...
No, I actually did. I shoved the cop.
Let me tell you something. Now, as much as I just said all that, I should also tell you that speaking of, you know, the cops coming in with their things, whenever I see there's riots... I always thought what I wanted to do is, if I was the mayor of a city, is be very – I didn't know they used to do this and it was bad. So when I told the story, I just thought it was so silly. But someone said they used to do this in the riots. And then I was like, ooh. Then it made it not funny anymore. But I said – I just pictured coming in with the fire department and unleashing the hose on people.
Like, right. Oh, yeah.
But then they go, they did
that. Oh, yeah, they did.
And I was like, oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Sounds fun. Like, everyone gets wet. But anyway – just teach them a lesson and get them a little wet. But I didn't know there was that much pressure in those fire hoses. But it does make sense in hindsight. I'm not advocating hosing people down. But I do fantasize sometimes hosing my street down.
Because it's dirty?
Well, whenever those water trucks come and can't park.
Yeah.
How much is that really doing?
No,
it's splishing it around.
It's an excuse to write tickets.
Thank you. Oh, my God. You know what? Tom, I'm not joking around. I wouldn't be surprised if they know, because the city knows everything. Yeah. Let's say they said the efficiency. How much do those trucks clean?
Nothing.
Really. And they're older now. They're not sucking. Right. The suction power. They know.
And sometimes they don't even go by your street, but they'll still write the ticket.
Listen. So they know that they know there's maintenance people for those things. They just like a vacuum repairman. There's somebody that knows exactly the efficiency of those street sweepers. Mm-hmm. Let's say now hypothetically you're right, and it's like out of 100% of what they used to be able to do, they're at about 20%. We're lucky if we pick up a few pieces, we squirt it. But here's the thing: we make the money on the tickets. It's worth fake running those up and down the street.
Oh, absolutely.
I bet you might be right.
Oh, I know. They've done story
What if I'm completely wrong?
Oh, no, you're 100% right.
Well, I'm not. And that's why I'm here to talk to you people today.
Oh.
No, that's because I always see, I watch it, but guess what I do like about it? It squirts enough water on the street to make it smell good. I love the smell of wet pavement. That was the name of my first country hit. wet pavement.
Yes, but they don't need to write tickets. They can just say no parking, and then people can participate. And then if people are parking, they can move out of the way.
What they do anyway. How does that help? Yeah, they say they're going to, we're writing the tickets because we don't want, you know,
the city of Los Angeles was $238 million over budget. So that means they would have to write like 7 million, like 70, you know, 7 million parking tickets to make up for that. And they're going to try. They are trying. But it's not going to work. No one likes math jokes. Or even math.
What is this?
Observations.
Doogie, what are your four favorite meats?
My four favorite meats?
Yeah, your four favorite meats.
I guess I'd have to say beef, lamb, pork, veal.
Beef, lamb, pork, and veal.
Beef, lamb, pork, veal.
Beef, lamb, pork, veal.
Beef, lamb, beef, lamb, beef, lamb, pork, veal.
Beef, lamb, pork, veal.
Beef, lamb, pork, veal. Beef, lamb, beef, lamb, beef, lamb, pork, veal. Beef, lamb, pork, veal.
Beef, lamb, pork, veal.
Beef, lamb, beef, lamb, beef, lamb, pork, veal.
Beef, lamb, pork, veal.
Beef, lamb, pork, veal. Beef, lamb, beef, lamb, beef, lamb, pork, veal. Jen, what are your four favorite meats?
Chicken, 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 chicken.
Chicken, 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 chicken.
Who is that?
It's Doogie Horner.
Doogie Howser?
It's Doogie Howser. Doogie Horner from Philadelphia, very funny comedian. And I wish I knew who the girl was. I don't know. But that was fun for my brain. Hey, didn't somebody send in a Hey Todd that we were going to play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Todd.
This is the part I love.
What's wrong? Oh my God, what's wrong? Is something wrong? What if there was a lady, Todd?
Okay. Hey. Ooh. It's ta-da.
Glass.
I love it. It was good. That's somebody who emailed me about something else, but...
Hey, Todd. It's... Stephen Fine Arts of the Bitter Buddha documentary.
Well,
I just wanted
nice.
To leave this with you today because I can't be in the studio, unfortunately. You know, I can't be there near you, to be honest. You make me sick. You don't
oh
think,
my God, this
clearly
is horrible.
Don't think that I'm fun. And,
what?
And it hurts me to the core.
You guys told
know
him? You guys
that
told
I'm
him?
Fun.
I didn't tell him.
You know, Eddie Pepitone says that I'm fun.
Guys,
a lot of guys say that
I can't
that
believe
I'm
you
fun.
Told him.
You
Let's
know,
listen to what he has to say.
Me?
But
you know, I
said
know,
it. Yes,
I, don't
I said
need
it.
Need them to tell me that I'm fun.
He's not
I
fun.
I know in my deepest,
no.
deepest,
sure you
deepest
think,
place
he thinks he's
that
fun.
I am fun.
No, he's not.
So much fun.
No, it's
bursting
not.
With fun.
I didn't want him to know I said this.
Personified.
I don't
want to
hurt his feelings, but of course he thinks
I am
he's fun.
Fun.
He thinks he's fun. He's sick.
I'm fun.
He's not
fun. You know,
fun.
I'm fun. You know, you saw me.
Fun. People that are fun don't keep saying, I'm fun. I'm fun. He's obviously not fun.
You guys like.
Listen to him.
Bullshit. I know.
Listen.
I get it. I'm fun. I'm fun. You know, it's fun. It's all fun.
Sounds like a mental
we're fun.
Patient.
We're all fun. I'm fun.
Maybe you could bring the fun out of him.
No, you don't. I think you're taking the wrong side of this,
no,
Tom.
No, I think he's got a good point. If a guy is that convinced he can be fun, you got to give him a shot.
Yeah, but
well,
so
you're talking about being nice to him.
No, I'm talking about giving him a chance to be fun. Well, I think he's fun.
Steve's a nice guy, though.
Yeah, he is fun, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, he is fun, now that fun. I think about it. I had to think about it. I tried to totally alter my opinion.
Hi, everybody. This is Lynn Shore.
Ooh.
On behalf of everyone here at the Todd Glass Show, Merry Christmas and happy whatever else the fuck you celebrate.
Oh, that's not nice.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly.
la 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 la. 'Tis the season to be jolly.
I don't. That's not nice. You don't got to be disrespectful.
Don, we now are woo apparel. La, 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 la,
woo apparel. La, la,
la, la. I don't even think he knows the song. He doesn't even know the lyrics. It's 'tis the season to know the lyrics. He thinks we don't listen. He thinks he can just say background shit. Okay. Here's a... They call you Lady Luck. Bobbity, bobbity, fuck. Fuckity, fuckity, shit. And fuck you tonight.
How can you give Lynn Shore a hard time for swearing in a Christmas song and then you swear?
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. You don't understand. When I do it, it's spoken word. He's supposed to have ability, and I'm just fucking around.
Is Lynn giving you singing lessons? Seriously?
No, seriously?
Yeah.
You know what made me laugh the hardest? Joe Greco, if you know him out there in Devon, Pennsylvania. Very funny kid I went to school with. I got his sense of humor. Once I laughed at him because he was funny, but he was a big guy. Like, he could defend people. My perception, I was right. He was like, you didn't. He wasn't someone, my perception, you would fuck around with him. But he was also funny. So one day in class, he looked like, you know, sort of like he'd be a tough guy. The teacher goes, remember, we only have one more day before they do the auditions for the leading, the musical singing part in whatever the play was. And he goes, I'll do it. And I thought it, you could tell, like, I really genuinely made me laugh. Uh-huh. No, everyone else, eh. Me, couldn't stop laughing. I'm like, right. Shut the
There's
fuck
a lot
up.
Of guys that were too funny at a young age, and everyone thought they were stupid, or they just like, pfft. And then they don't become comedians.
They don't, but they're still that person.
Right, and they're still hilarious.
You hope that they have somewhere to release it. And that's why, like, I'm not joking. Like, I say this, I think whenever I say I'm not joking, it's because I'm about to say something that could be perceived as melancholy. And it's not. So I think if you preface it, you go, don't let this – this is just some formula. I feel it or I wouldn't be saying it. If it falls into a schmaltzy category, is that if that's not the right word, it might not be. You'll get the gist of what I'm saying. But I think that's why that's the what I like about the podcast is that there are people that – certain people that are still around this type of silliness. Other people are like, oh, that reminds me of when – then you have kids or something. But this lets you – we have this. You have this together,
mm-hmm.
And I think it lets them tap into a silliness that maybe they don't get to do all the time. So
right.
We have this. We have this with each other. So I get those type of emails, and it resonates with me. Obviously, someone's like, you know, that's. It seems like it's fun to hang out with you. Does it make sense what I'm saying?
Yes, totally. Because I remember at a young age, before I had any idea of doing comedy, like in high school and college, there was a group of people you would hang out, and you'd laugh so hard you'd get mm-hmm. a stomach ache.
Right.
And people kind of. Lose that as they grow older, but
right.
You don't want to because yeah. it was such a fun time.
And also for my own paranoia, the reason I think that this isn't just it's me saying, oh, this is how great the show is. No, let me tell you something. You need when you have a good time with your friends, it's both ways that you need. You need the person to be enjoying it and laughing, and the person sometimes someone's talking, sometimes someone's listening. So it's the person that's enjoying it that is doing this, feeding me as much as we're feeding each other.
Right.
I can't sit around my house just by myself saying funny things.
Right.
What makes it enjoyable is there's someone on the other end of it. So it's a two-way street.
And
so
it builds
it's not
into
a compliment.
Its own world. Yeah.
You're as appreciative for the audience that enjoys what you're doing. It works both ways.
Right.
Does that
totally. And okay. and I think the world even shrinks down to where only these two or three or four people get the references that you're referring to. So no one in the world would even know what the hell you're talking about except this subgroup of a subgroup of
that
a subgroup.
That you have a special thing
yes.
and then you have these running jokes and all, everything. So anyway, there, I said it. I get, you know, I'm always afraid. I don't want anyone to think I was geez, Todd, relax. What are we going to do to close? It's funny when I just say it. Are we okay with time over there?
Yeah, we're good.
You're good. You're something. Guys, if you could give me a little music. Hey, folks, the John Carlton Orchestra thinks they're taking a break tonight. How about a little swing music behind me, guys? Let's do something nice over here tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Tom Martin for sitting in with me tonight in the Tom Martin Orchestra.
Thank you for having me.
It's not... Friday night, baby. I'm done. I don't want to end with this. I'm knowing. Let's get out of this. And we're gonna find something to do to close. I love it when we're just, you know, we'll think of something.
Karaoke.
I've never, You know what? Maybe we will let. Oh my God, Chris, no, Mike. No, no. You know what this is like tonight? This is like this. Kid, can you have some old crackling music? Can I get some? Because here's what's going to happen. I think Chris. Listen.
Kid, listen up. The headlining act didn't show tonight. Take that apron off. You're the closing act tonight. You're the closing act.
But I am just a waiter.
You're going to do the job. He goes to the same character.
All of a sudden, that same guy shows up.
He's a recent, recent immigrant.
But I am just a waiter.
It does. Okay, hold on.
But in his old country, he was a famous performer.
And I remember yesterday.
In old country, I was famous performer. But here in new country, I am just a waiter. I don't perform. I don't know what to do.
All right, hold on. You're gonna do this song. But before we do it.
Why is there crackling music when he's just talking?
Oh, because I was doing like the old timey. But so anyway, the scene is so Chris the other night at the house was doing a. He just turned on the. It was me, him, Blake Wexler, Geraldine, Blake's girlfriend, hanging out, and Eric was there. And on the computer came all the other kids with their pumped up kicks, and he started singing it in this very monotone way, which it grew. At first, I didn't understand it. Then his commitment to it had us all like really laughing very hard. And then Blake Wexler did a Sweet Caroline with the same. It's such a parody of a parody of a parody. So I think that's how we're going to close the show today. Because if it tickled my funny bone, then people it'll make them laugh. So this is what we do. Now it's easy because we can talk. There's no pressure. Like, we know that's taking it home, hopefully.
Todd, there's no pressure anyway.
All the pressure's, well, I feel a little bit.
Really?
Anything as we go to close? Did we do everything here? You sure? You don't know?
I played a bunch of shit right there at the end. So yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Not like that.
You listen up. Where's my echo? Give me some presidential music.
Listen here. Listen to me, America. I've got a lot to say.
Is this the same vaudeville announcer that wanted him to fill in for the headliner?
Wait, I'm lost. Hello? Where's the President Kennedy music? Where's my goddamn music? When I walk out on this fucking stage, I want that goddamn music playing. I'm the President of the United States.
Mr. President, your mic is on.
Well, I would admire this. Well, then, all the more reason for me to demand respect out of this goddamn military troop. You guys are going in, you're supposed to be part of the military. And the simplest job they have is that when I walk out onto that stage, I want the music cued so I look like I am important.
The president of the Soviet Union is waiting.
I don't give a fuck. You know what it feels like? Do you know the feeling that I get when I walk out onto that stage and the minute my foot hits that ground, that band comes in? You know
what a jackass I feel like
when I hit that stage and that band takes even 5 seconds to play? You motherfuckers never go to combat. You're never in harm's
way. Your hand is too close to the nuclear button, sir. Take your hand off the button.
I got my finger on the button and I'm...
Sir, I'm begging you to not press that button.
Yeah,
I don't care how angry you are. Mr. President.
Don't try to play over me.
Mr. President, we understand you're upset, but you can't hover too close to the nuclear button.
Hold on. Turn all the music off. That bit could have gone. Remember what I said? I know what you do when you fight me. I said...
I didn't fight you.
No. Seriously. No, I know what you're doing, and I'm going to do everything on the air. I'm not editing anything. All these moments. Here's what's happening. A long time ago, I said, always trust your instincts, because I'd always rather tell you not to do something. The only thing don't do, I go, sometimes when you smoke, you'll fight me on the volume. So I reach over to turn it lower, and then he puts his hand there. Even if your hand's there, it means you're fighting me. If you see me doing it, and he fights me. And then when I call him on it, instead of going, I did do that, which then it's over, he goes,
but the main reason
what?
I put my hand there is
No, I move it down 10 times a show.
They're talking about a volume button propped on the Macintosh computer.
It's a big carrot.
They're never going to hear this.
I'm going to tell them about it on
my
blog.
Shut the fuck up.
I'll leave it in.
My
Todd Glass,
you know what? Me and Chris are friends enough where instead of letting you have power over us, maybe I overreacted a little. He says his part, and then I go, oh, he's right. It's not that big of a deal.
I'm going to tell them about how you guys met.
How did we meet, Tom?
You guys met at the Horty Horde Festival.
Oh, you believe that?
No, it was the.
when we got Todd, caught in the Horny Whore Festival. You're like, I knew you met at the Horny Whore Festival.
Yeah, people want to know that stuff.
Right. Todd, Watt, it's a pleasure having you.
Where did we meet?
We met, seriously, no bullshit.
At the...
Say, Tom, do this bit, because I think we've done this before. It's fun. Go. No, you guys both, every time I ask you, talking to the mic, I'm going to ask you, but one of you has to talk, and you really get specific, and we promise you that we'll only do it. Okay, okay. So ask again. Do you want to know where we met?
I do, and I want one of you to speak at a time. Todd, first, you, Chris, don't say a word. Todd, where did you meet?
Okay, just me. No bullshit, all bullshit aside.
Chris?
We met...
At the time,
the time. No, he doesn't know.
No, I don't know.
Chris, let me help you so you know we're not fucking with you. Yeah. He wants you not to answer.
Oh, okay.
He thinks that we're trying to do that thing where we go, a man walked in. And you act like you're saying it at the same time. So, Chris, when he asks me, please just shut up. Okay. No, you know what I mean. Not respectfully.
Yeah, well, not. Yeah,
no, because we're both in.
Not
he thinks we're,
I don't understand the big deal. It's a simple question. Todd, just
Chris,
answer the question.
Shut up.
Okay. No,
Chris, shut up.
I'm
be silent.
He'll ask me, and then I'll ask you. Do not. If you need to shut his mic off, I don't care. Okay.
Did you?
Okay. What's the question, Chris? Shut up. Do not fucking talk.
Did and Chris meet? Because he told me before where you met, and I just want to see if you have the right answer.
Chris?
The same thing that he said. Where did you meet, Chris?
Shut up. I will answer. Chris, shut the fuck up. I'm going to answer.
Because you should remember
this. Okay, I'm going to answer.
Okay.
We met, I think
Chris.
Maybe, but you know what? Now that I think about it.
Now that I think about it, it was probably
What's the matter? You seem upset. I can't.
I don't think that.
I didn't say anything.
It seems like you guys are hiding something. Like,
oh my God! Is that what you thought?
Yes.
I would be mad
like,
at you.
Why?
Okay, well, I don't know what to do. I mean, once my dad told me that somebody a liar thinks. You know, we see in others what we see in others.
If somebody,
we see in ourselves,
see
what,
in
we see in others.
What you
we
see in others.
You see in others what you see in
what
yourself.
What you see in yourselves.
Yeah, you see in others.
Well, and you see in that.
So maybe
in others.
You think you're a liar, but that's embarrassing.
But that's embarrassing.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah,
we have nothing to hide. Our friendship.
You think our fucking. Why?
I don't give a fuck. Let him talk.
Let him talk.
Chris. No, stop it.
Sorry,
and I'm not joking around.
I'm not joking around.
Turn my motherfucking mic off. I don't care.
Hold
on. Turn my mic off if you have to. Chris, tell him where we fucking
met. Where'd you meet?
We first met at the Carnival Del Rey. Oh my God! Then we try to commit.
Never forget where you met.
We think we're.
I have another.
No. Carnival Del Rey. I mean, those were the days of. You know what this part of this bit is equivalent to? The part of the poop my pants bit where he goes, I would never do anything to affect our friendship. Well, he's trying to put so much distance in between pooping in his pants that he's trying to act like he's in the intricacies of a friendship. Like, oh, we'll just plow past that. I'm still knowing you're the guy that pooped in your pants. That's what we're doing right here, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. This was the part of the bit where I go, oh, the what was this that we were just talking about? The word?
Where you met?
Yeah, the Marina.
Carnival Del.
Oh, it was so much fun. Now we have to lie about this because that doesn't exist. We made up a fake word. Oh, the Carnival Del Rey. That would. You know what, remember?
It was funny.
It's funny because
I grew up in Del Rey.
And I grew up in the Marina
area. They don't have the Carnival.
No, it was
big
only
cotton
one year.
Candies.
Maybe thinking of the Oktoberfest.
Choo choo.
Yeah, it was an Oktoberfest.
Yeah, the Oktoberfest.
Choo choo. Coming through with the train. And then they take you through there and you'd watch old fashioned movies at the Carnival Del Rey.
How long have you guys been living together?
I don't know. Tell them. I don't give a shit. Hey, by the way, seriously, do you want to put your? I don't know if you think we're playing games with you or not.
Well, it just seems like you won't answer the direct question.
Could you do me a favor, Chris? Could you walk away?
Of course.
From the mic.
Okay. How long have you guys been living together?
We do not necessarily.
Now live, but
you have the same address. I've received mail from both of you,
and that's why he was saying.
And I know before you guys met in Del Rey,
we have a lawsuit with the postal department because they've been getting our address wrong. And for some reason, there's someone over there.
There's someone over
there. Here's what happened. They're trying to make us look like we're a little. So as a joke, they put my address when he lives, and they can even show you where he lives. If you want to see where he lives, and you know it's his house where I show you because there's a picture of him on the fireplace. Why? And I don't even have the keys. I could just open. You could look from the window.
There's a nice
guy. It doesn't even look like him anymore, but it is, you'll still notice it's him. Meanwhile, it's just a stranger's house. That's the trick. And he is, and I get lost in the bit. But I think it's always going somewhere good until
but
you.
Until you.
We're done. We gotta go home.
We gotta go home.
Shut up, Chris. I'm glad that we're ready to wrap it up. Otherwise, your comedic skills are to repeat everything I say. We're just marvelous. Like that? See, I take it that way, then I take it that way. All right, so here we go. So we're at my house hanging out. By the way, everybody, I want to thank you. This was fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing. Chris, you were great. Eric, do you have any Dalai Lama quotes?
No.
Hold on 1 second.
No, you're right. It's my fault.
But no, you don't have to just... Alec Haley still owns it by going, no, you're right. When you're right, you're right. You know what? When I make a mistake, and I want to be the first one that points it out that you're right. So, Todd, how dare I interrupt you? And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart that when you're talking, I should not interrupt. And that was wrong what I did, and I want you to take full control of the show. So I'm going to turn it back over to you. Matter of fact, I feel a little embarrassed that I did so far, stopping it. How did I do that? All you should have to do is make a little bit of a nudge to me, and I should get that you want to steer the show in a certain direction. So I want to wholeheartedly apologize for what I put you through. At first, I was thinking, my God, Todd's being just ridiculous. But then I thought about it, and I went, you're absolutely right. Why am I making such a big deal? So I want to apologize because something that I did altered and stopped the show. And all I want to do is turn it right back over to you, Todd. Do I wish it would have taken this long? Absolutely not. I just wish that you would have just had a moment with me, and I'm very sorry, and I hope you can take my apology and understand that it was horrible what I did.
Chris,
it was really
Chris,
wrong.
Chris, would you turn the show back over to Todd now?
That's what I want to do. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to say that
Chris,
it was wrong. I made a little mistake,
Chris,
and then when Keith...
It's the Todd Glass show.
All right.
It's not the Chris Sound Guy show. Would you please...
that's not my last name.
When he apologized... I want to say that that's what I did. I realized that I was by – when Todd did that to me, and then I started to go, oh, and I interrupt. But
Todd's making a sandwich now because he knows you're going to go on and on. Would you please just turn the show back over to Todd so we can wrap it up?
Okay. All righty. Hey, give a shout-out to your wife. How's she doing? Your main squeeze.
Are you talking about my wife, Heidi?
Yeah, I'd like to get my hands on her. I could do some damage.
Jeez, Todd, that seems a little disrespectful to my wife.
Disrespectful.
If you know her for years.
Well, I'm disrespectful. Wait till you have a wife that's not that attractive and nobody fantasizes about her. You think if
I mean, put it that way, I suppose.
Well, when she comes around, can I tell you something? If you're not going to freak out.
Oh, yeah, sure. I won't
freak out. A lot of the guys down at the, when she comes to have lunch
at the wharf?
You. Yeah, at the fisherman's wharf where we work. Come on. Once you see me look over and you're raising that mic, Chris, stop.
You guys
you're
are
really
turning into a comedy
Turn
team.
It
yeah.
Off.
No. Don't. Chris, don't do that. Just stop. You stop doing it. Everything in. You got to leave those awkward moments in the podcast. I don't want to create a editing nightmare. That's why when you always hear me say, we'll edit it. Here's what we'll do this week.
What if Walter brought it home?
That's what I mean. That was worth it.
I know.
All that happened, and then, that's right. And then, Watt. Oh, is that short for Walter?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. There you go. Look at you pulling out the slang. So anyway, so there was a period where, look, me and Chris had an honest, like, he's like, I think he's on another, I think he's not always there with me in his eyes, you know, and I need cues. So we have one of those moments. But why can't you leave that in?
You can.
Yeah, I think you can. And then he saved it with the bringing it complete circle. What was the joke he said? What? Oh, I'll do it. You said somebody sing because of the awkward pause between me and Chris.
Right.
And then you said somebody sing. And he said, all right, I'm just repeating what happened now. But at least I remember. I want some credit. So here we go. So you want to...
You want to... You want to... Do we trick you? Okay, let's not mess around. Here's what just happened. I know. Like, what was that? That was a weird glitch. We just took you through the magic of technology from the show in the moment where I was saying, hey, let's go back to the show or whatever I was saying. And then I took you right into my cell phone, into my house. Why would we do that? Why did, why,
Oh my God, what happened? They've never done this. No, never. It's it. I bet it can't be a joke. Oh, they've never ended the show where they like just segue from the show right into Todd's house. Something. Oh my God. Chris and him were arguing. Ay, ay, ay. No, no, no. Something's wrong. Oh. What's happening over there? Why would he go from one to the other? All of a sudden I'm listening to the show and then he just goes and he like tries to, I guess he, oh, what's wrong? I don't want to know. Oh my God, they don't know how to end the show. It finally happened. It finally happened. They don't know how to end the show. It probably wasn't going. Todd likes that show to have a climax. That probably didn't happen. That Tom motherfucking Martin. Or why, maybe it's Tino's fault. I know one thing. It ain't Todd Glass's fault. No, no, no. Well, it finally happened. They don't know how to end the show.
Yes, sir. You're right. Anyway, that was a we left a lot of me and Chris bickering in. I am not joking around. If I ever need you, to be honest, I know I shouldn't ask this question, but I'm going to. Sometimes I hesitate when stuff like that happens, like what we do. It's not really editing most of the time. It's just we'll take a break. It rarely happens. But when it does, I always take it out. And when I say it rarely happens to George Carlin, 98% of the time it doesn't happen. We're just getting to, and by the way, it's just a stupid little bicker. But 98% of the time, we're having as much fun there as it seems like we're having. And even that 2%, we're still having a really good time the majority of the show. And then there's moments where we bicker, and we're always in such a silly mood. I always go, I'll take a break. And the bickering could be something like, you just heard. So maybe we'll leave it in. I don't mean to act like it's a big deal. I am making a bigger deal about it than it is, isn't it? Aren't I, Eric?
It wasn't a big deal.
It wasn't a big deal, but we're even. I'm acknowledging that. Okay. What I'm saying right now, it wasn't a big deal, but when it normally happens, I'll be like, we'll take a break. Well, me and Chris will talk about it. I go, leave it in. That happened. You get the gist of what I'm saying. If I'm over-talking it, that's what I do best.
Let him over-talk. Oh my God, the guy, that's who he is! Asking Todd Glass not to overtalk something would be like, asking Todd Glass not to overtalk, it would be like,
By the way, this is the dumbest guy that loves the show. He's got to have a good heart. Dumb isn't a nice word, but obviously.
Let him overtalk! Asking Todd to not overtalk, I think it'd be like, I don't know how, Lord Jesus, it would be like, it would be like, you know, it would be like asking, it would be like asking Todd Glass not to overtalk.
Did you enjoy that? I guess the show has an ending now, but here's the way we're going to really end the show. Chris did sing this song, so you know what? Hey, you know what? You know how sometimes when you watch the Today Show and they roll the credits, they'll show the performer singing? Let's do that with Chris. Let Chris come in and end this show professionally like he was meant to do. So as now you roll him in, fade him in. And then the credits roll. Katie Levine, producer. Chris Burden, you know, technical musical director. And then the credits are rolling. Irk, Daniel Kino, Lynn Shore, Jingle Joe. They're just rolling. With special guest occasionally by Blake Wexler. And Steve Feinhartz. They're all rolling and rolling. And listen to Chris. He's singing and he's singing. Ah. Goodbye.
Rabbit's got a quick hand. He looked around the room, but won't tell you his plan. He's got a rolled cigarette. hanging out of his mouth. He's a cowboy kid, yeah. Yeah, found a six-shooter gun in his dad's closet, hidden with a box of fun things. I don't even know what, but yeah, he's coming for you. Yeah, he's coming for you, hey. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run, outrun my gun. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.